in Tuesday at noon to listen to evacuation radio services. Continual broadcasting of news and information to Dome City survivors of Hurricane Katrina, brought to you by Houston Independent Media Center. This is experimental broadcast of 95.3 megahertz, authorized by the FCC. Please tune in Tuesday at noon.
Testing? Okay. Hi, welcome to 95.3 Camp FM, Katrina Alternate Media Project. We're here in the Astrodome area here in Houston, Texas, and we're broadcasting to survivors of Katrina, and we want to get the word out of what people need to do, any kind of news that y'all need to get out there. We're here in the Astrodome parking lot, ready to help people communicate through the airwaves. This is a micro radio station licensed by the FCC. We got a temporary permit after a week and a half of struggle, and we wish we would have been on 2 weeks ago, but now we're on the air and we're ready to help y'all. So, all right, and we got a host here. My name's Cree.
Hi, I'm Lori Kramer. I'm with Houston Indie Media. Welcome to 95.3 FM. This is Dome City Radio for the evacuees of Hurricane Katrina. We're hoping that if you're tuning in, it's because you got one of those 10,000 plus radios that we passed out with batteries so that you can get information that you need. Yeah, it's a little late. Like Chris said, we tried to do this a week ago for you, but we got tied up with the bureaucracy. We got the license changed so that now we're outside in the Dome Media parking lot. Any of you out there that are hearing this and you're evacuees, you want to come tell us your stories, you want to ask some questions about information that you need to get, we can try and give it to you. If we don't have it, we'll dig it up for you. Come on over to that polished silver Airstream over in the media lot, and we'll talk to you and get your questions and try and help you out. We're glad you're there.
Yep. We are looking for people that have some ideas on what people need to hear. So if you feel like you've got a good idea of how you can help out, please, especially, we need those people to get on here. We are passing out more radios, and also you can pick it up on your own radios if you got one already. The radios we're passing out are a little hard to figure out. They're the cheapest ones we could get a whole bunch of. So they just need a little bit of help. You have to press the reset button and then scan until you find our signal, which is 95.3 FM. Of course, those radios don't have an indicator what station you're on, so you'll just have to listen for our voice and scan around. And we're going to be running 24 hours, 7 days a week, as long as people are here. So please seek us out, and we'll do what we can for you.
We want to first of all thank some of the people that helped hold us together. Prometheus Radio Project, Houston Independent Media Center, KPFT, Pacifica Network Station 90.1 FM here in Houston. Lots and lots of volunteers have showed up, spent time putting this radio stuff together, getting hold of the radios, taping batteries to radios, digging up a place for us to broadcast. We want to thank Houston Independent Media for having their equipment here at the Airstream in the Dome parking lot. We'll get a run down a couple Red Cross questions that get frequently asked, and if you haven't been able to get those answers, we got them for you. First of all, about food stamps. If you're looking for food stamps, the question is, do I need an ID to get food stamps? No, IDs are preferred but not required. They understand that your ID may be underwater back where you live, but you need to eat, so you don't need the ID for that. Can you use your food stamp card from Louisiana here in Texas? Yes, that's a definite. Most stores are accepting them. If you have lost your Louisiana purchase card, what do you do? Well, you can call this number. Get a pencil, 866-344-8304, and a new card will be mailed to you, or you can apply for a state of Texas food stamp card. That's called the Lone Star card here. Works pretty much the same way. That number again is 866-344-8304. Now, some people have had some questions about FEMA. So what does FEMA actually do? FEMA only provides funding for new or temporary housing and home repairs. Clients must find their own housing. Do you have to register with FEMA? All FEMA requires for registration is your name, your social security number, your address, phone number of your damaged residence in Louisiana or whatever state, current mailing address, current phone number if you have one, and the size of your household. No ID is required. You want to know how you get a FEMA debit card? Well, FEMA's not distributing any more debit cards. FEMA funds are being distributed to registered persons by direct deposit into your bank account or by check. Checks will be mailed within 7 to 10 days for delivery. You can register online at www.fema.gov, or phone at 1-800-621-3362. Can FEMA help you with your Section 8 or your HUD? Nope. Section 8 HUD housing and et cetera questions should be directed to those organizations directly. We got a chance to tour through the Reliant Dome area, Convention Center area, where there's housing yesterday. Things are looking pretty good in there. It doesn't seem quite as packed as it was. The atmosphere was more upbeat. People were getting settled into their situation, but there were still several concerns about what was going to happen later when Dome City shuts down. Hopefully we'll get more information to you about that kind of thing. Cree, what did you happen to see when you were walking around yesterday?
We did a little media tour where they gave us a special permit to come in and talk to people and do interviews, and you got most of the interviews. I was there taking pictures and just taking in the sight of lots of people out there on the floor, and it looks like a fairly comfortable place to be, but you know, it's definitely on the floor of a convention center and probably not the best place to be in, so hopefully people are getting some place to be out and stuff. But it is looks like there's a lot of good people there trying to help out and stuff, and people sticking it together and finding out information, and just looks like more people need to get more answers and figure out how to get their people back together. I've heard a story of somebody where their child went to Dallas while she was here, and she can't get her child registered without the child being there, so it looks like she's trying to figure out a way to get her kid back here from Dallas, and you know, hopefully it looks like there's some resources for starting to get that in the process, but definitely, if people want to go to school, they need to.
One of the things that we want to be able to offer services for is we know a lot of families have gotten separated, and you may not have been able to locate people in different areas. If you want to come by the Airstream and let us know who you're looking for, send a shout out to those people. We might be able to get y'all hooked up. You're welcome to do that. That's one of the reasons we're here. One of the things we found out yesterday in talking to people inside the Reliance Center is still the lack of information and how they don't know where to go, what to ask questions for. I know last week when survivors first started gathering, they were tacking little pieces of paper up on the walls of the dome. The things weren't even alphabetized. I mean, there were over 20,000 people in there. This is one of the things we want to help facilitate. So come on over to the Airstream. Let us know who you're looking for. We'll try and send that out. I also want to send a special shout out to any Whole Foods Market employees. They are still missing people from the Veterans and Arabella stores. If you know anybody that works at Whole Foods, or if you happen to work at Whole Foods, get to the phone and call the corporate office or call any local Whole Foods store and get hooked up so that they can find out where you are. They can inform you of your benefits. You are guaranteed a job wherever you can get to. If you can get there, there's emergency assistance available for Whole Foods Market employees. So we urge you to contact us or contact any Whole Foods store. They want to know where you are. They want to make sure you're okay. We've got Liz with us here. She's been working on the project. Liz, can you kind of help clear up some of the false reports that have been coming out in the media about our request, the original request to set this station up?
I certainly can, Lori. Thanks for that. Our original request for this station was merely to have a presence in the Astrodome so that we could provide emergency information to evacuees from the New Orleans area who've arrived here at the Astrodome. And we required only a space and some electricity. We had FCC permits. We did not ask for unlimited access to the building. Obviously, we only needed our 24-hour access, the same as any Red Cross or other volunteer would have had. That was really it as far as we required support from the Dome or its employees, FEMA, Red Cross, anything like that. We provided all of our own staff, our own content. We provided the radios at their request to the evacuees. And I believe that was all we needed.
All right, yeah, once again, you're listening to 95.3 FM Camp Radio. It's the Katrina Alternate Media Project, and we're broadcasting to the Dome City. That's the folks that are staying in the Houston Astrodome and the Houston Convention Center here in Houston. And if you need to come out and you got questions or you got something, we need to get on the air. We're in the parking lot closer to the Convention Center in a tiny little silver Airstream trailer with a antenna out on the side and a big banner on the side that says whose radio waves are these? Our radio waves. And we're licensed by the FCC to broadcast in this small area just to reach people that need to get information. So come to us anytime. We're going to be here 24/7 as long as we got to be here, and to get everybody connected as best as we can. We're doing what we can here. And what else? You got anything else you want to add at this time?
Well, we have some information for you. And again, if there's any information that you would like to hear, I know information is a primary concern for everyone here inside the Dome. Everyone's asking for reports from back home and trying to find their families. And we're going to get that information to you in just a few minutes. If there's anything else you need to know, do feel free to come on out, stop by, take a little tour of our trailer out here, right out here in the media parking lot at the Astrodome. Just want to give you some tidbits you might be missing out on. The Houston School District registration is open from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. It's located outside Hall B. ID is preferred for registration, but it's not required. For those of you concerned about immunizations, that requirement has also been waived. I believe there's about 20 days left on that waiver at this point, so you don't need to worry about that. Just go ahead and stop by there and get your children registered for school, and they'll be bussed out to where they need to go. The post office here is open from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. They're handling all regular postal issues, including change of address, sale of stamps, and others. You will need a photo ID to pick up your mail. We also have information that Houston Community College is now here outside of Hall B in the center. It's Reliance Center here, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Houston Community College is there doing on-site admissions, advising, counseling, and financial aid. Their classes will begin here on September 24th. Once again, you're listening to 95.3 KAMP, from Evacuation Radio Services here at the Houston Astrodome. Immunizations, for those of you who are concerned, are being given free both in the center and the dome. Louisiana DMV is currently requiring paper applications for all replacement licenses and IDs, but these replacements are free. You can get more information on that at the info desk.
All right, do you want to take a quick little break and we'll do some music, or do you got some more announcements?
Let's take a short break and we'll come right back with the announcements in just a few minutes. Remember, you're listening to 95.3 KAMP.
Once again, you're listening to 95.3 FM Camp Radio, the Katrina Alternate Media Project, broadcasting on micro radio licensed by the FCC here in Houston, Texas, near the Astrodome. And once again, we're down here in the parking lot with the Silver Aerostream trailer, and we're here to get you some news and information you can use. So If you got anything to say, come find us, and we'll put your information on the air. Stay tuned. We'll have more stuff to come. And sorry, we only got one little loop CD to play right now, but we'll be getting some more music and more content as the day progresses. We'll be running 24/7 until the need is ended. So stay tuned.
Yeah.
All right, we're back on the air. This is 95.3 Camp FM, the Katrina Alternate Media Project, and we're here to get y'all some news about what's going on here in the Houston Dome City here, next to the Astrodome and the Convention Center here. And we're going to be here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, until y'all got no more questions or don't need any more help. So stay tuned. We're going to have some information coming up, and then we've had some interviews with people earlier that we've recorded and put on here. So let me pass you on to another DJ here.
Hey, this is Lori. Lori from Indie Media. We're glad you're here. You're listening to 95.3 Camp Katrina Alternate Media Project, broadcasting to you live from Dome City here at the Astrodome in Houston, Texas, where the Hurricane Katrina survivors are hanging out. We wanted to let you know we did some interviews yesterday while we were setting up the radio station. And so we want to play some of those for you right now. If you tune in, hang on, we're going to get that right to you. Whose radio? Our radio. Come on over and talk to us. If you're listening to it, you're a survivor of Katrina. You've got some questions. You've got some comments. Come on over. We'll give you some information if we can get it for you. If not, we'll try and find it for you. If you've got some missing family members and you still haven't been able to locate them, let's get their names out. Let's see if anybody else that's listening to this knows where they are. We want to get you reunited. We want to get you back with your family. We know that this is one of the hardest parts of dealing with this aftermath of this hurricane, is not knowing where your loved ones are, not knowing how to get a hold of them, if they're safe, where they are. We want to help make that happen for you. So come on over to the media parking lot, look for that polished silver Airstream, and we'll be talking to you and get that information to you as soon as we can. We want to thank again the people that helped get this together for us: Prometheus Radio Project, Houston Independent Media Center, KPFT 90.1 FM. You want to tune into them too for additional Katrina information. And we're really glad to be here. We've got some other people, that volunteers that are helping to put this together. We're going to be switching off throughout the day. This is day one of Camp Radio. After a week of trying to get this station on the air, we're finally successful. We're outside the dome instead of inside the dome, but it doesn't matter because this information is still coming to you. And I would like to address Ms. Rita Obey, who gave us our first of the two final denials of the inside the dome. She said that this they decided not to do it to err on the side of FEMA and the Red Cross. Both agencies supported this project. She said to side on the side of FEMA and the Red Cross over entertainment. We're here to entertain you somewhat, but we're really here to give you information that you need that you haven't been getting. And maybe it's a week late, but we're still here, and we're dedicated to bringing it to you because we know that you need this. Communication is essential, especially in the time of a disaster. We want to bring that to you. We went into the Reliance Center yesterday and interviewed some people. We've got a few interviews here that we've recorded, and we're going to broadcast them to you right now, let you know what some of the survivors from Katrina told us yesterday.
I just want to talk about your experience and see how things are going.
Well, I have three children, three small children, 3, 4, and 6, and the experience here has been rumors of rape, men raping little girls, and they bust one little four-year-old girl's rectum up and she was killed. That's the experience I'm getting in this environment. It's not supervised. When my sons went to the bathroom by the cafeteria a day ago, they had a military man talking to a housekeeper. Her name is C. Johnson. There was not supervised in the other bathroom that they told him to go to, but they told him they couldn't go to the bathroom that he was standing in front of because they was cleaning it. And they are aware that children are getting raped in here. And I don't know who's doing it, but they are aware that it's dangerous, and they're not doing too much about it. But having people posted in front of the bathrooms, but it's still going on.
You have your children here with you?
My children are over there. I was the lady that was screaming, just not coming out the bathroom because they let my children go in the bathroom without their parents. And I'm supposed to be supervising them. And it's not, things are not going right in here as far as dealing with children.
How long have you been here?
I could say about maybe a week.
Where'd you come from?
Thurgood Marshall. Is there anything else you'd like to share about it? We've been here for a week. When I signed up for housing, we have not received no housing assistance. And like I said, I have three small children, 3, 4, and 6. And they keep calling names for housing, but they're not doing too much about getting people out of here. They really need to get out of here, especially with small children knowing rape and all kind of foolishness is going on. They need to get tight on whatever they're doing because these children are suffering from it. That's it.
Thank you. This is Lori. I'm here in the Reliance Center with some survivors. What would you like to tell me about how things are going?
It's straight. The process moving too slow.
What's slow about it? Which part of the process is slow?
Having people still here. Housing, you know, everybody in the house. After everybody would be in the house, once, you know, after at least 2 weeks. It's been about 2.5 weeks, everybody's still in here.
Where'd y'all come from?
New Orleans, West Bank, Algiers.
What's your experience?
Whew. All I can say is whew. Food is terrible. I can't help, you know, they're trying to help us on, you know, feed us and all for the hunger and all that, but people that go out to eat, right? You see people with hot wings and going to the shack and stuff because the food ain't hitting on nothing. Then they got living on, got cots we try to board up so people won't be all in our space. They're taking the borders down, thinking somebody that having sex and stuff all in their bed and, you know, on their cots. Who gonna have sex on a cot? Besides that, I'm trying to see what they plan on doing about the housing situation, because I'm tired of still looking at all these people. When you wake up, you're used to looking at 1,000 of people. When you wake up, you don't see your family members. I see more than my family. I see people I never saw in days of my life. I'm trying to see what they're going to do about the housing process. That's the only problem I have really with them. But the other stuff I see, it would just mm-hmm. be jokes.
How many of y'all are together here?
There's 10 of us.
Ten of me?
Carol Children. Kelly, well, he come over here aggravating people. We almost know him. But I think he's stalking. He called himself digging in one of our book sacks one day, so we stopped. So, but before we had a fight, us being peacemakers, we stopped the fight and we became friends like that. We didn't want to fight him, so we just let him, you know, be cool with us. So he follows that we didn't go now. All right, I used to be sleeping. Kelly used to come run off my book sack.
Tell me again about how long you've been here.
They're playing on your radio.
Huh?
They're playing on your radio.
They're playing on my radio.
Yeah. They on Dance Survivors.
Who
is it was there? Gone before the storm came.
How we got in here then? How we got in here?
Tell us what's up.
This side is not going to be
gone. Well, what it is, the process is slow and everybody trying to get vouchers for to move. And they started saying that they go call us when our vouchers are ready, but next week they're putting everybody out. And what about the people that don't have nowhere to go? You know what I'm saying? The people that have vouchers, they got a home. The people who don't have no vouchers, they got to find somewhere to go. They talking about shipping us here, shipping us there. Everybody won't be shipped different places. Everybody won't stay with their families. The police, they handle you totally bad, handle you all kind of ways. They talk to you bad. You ask them questions, they get attitude. All the money that people donated, I don't see where it went to, because we not profiting out of it. They gave us $2,000 out of FEMA. That ain't nothing.
Did you get it?
No, I'm still waiting on my money. I'm still waiting. But people that did get their money, that ain't much. A whole house full of furniture if you do decide that you want to move. It's like the process is slow, and it's ridiculous in here. It's just ridiculous.
How many in your group?
I have 10 all together.
Do you have any missing family members? Have you been able to find out about those?
No, I found my mama and my sister and my dad, and so I don't have no family members.
That's good. That's good. How's things been going for you?
Been down the valley. These ladies don't want help, you know. And I'm applying for housing this morning, and it's kind of slow, and we have to wait. And they give us FEMA, but they don't give us enough. Some people say we're getting 2 checks, some people say we're getting 1. People going to buy he say, she say stuff, you know. We just want to go back and live our normal life. That's all we want.
Well, I hope that helps. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. Okay, we're still here in the Alliance Center. We've got a couple of ladies here. And where are y'all from?
New Orleans, Louisiana.
New Orleans.
How long have you been here?
I've been here for roughly 2 weeks. I'll say roughly 2 weeks.
How's things been going?
Oh, things been going great. Everybody's been a big help. I mean, the Red Cross, everything's beautiful. Gave us bedding, something to eat. And I was fortunate enough to get me an apartment here in Texas on the southwest side. And everything's doing great. I'm glad I'm alive because I was in the Superdome for about 3 or 4 days, and I survived that, and I'm just glad to be here and be alive.
So you plan on staying in Houston?
Yes, ma'am. I'm planning on staying in Houston, you know, for right now, you know, at least a year, I know. I'm going to plan on staying here.
So you got an apartment. When are you going to be able to get into it?
Well, it should be ready tomorrow. They said they were going to put some carpet down. I paid the rent and the deposit like, I think it was yesterday. No, it was like Friday, I think it was. And it should be ready, you know.
I see you got a radio here.
Yeah, I have a radio. I like to listen to a little music to keep myself mellow, listen to a little media, see what's going on since there aren't any televisions in the center.
Well, I want to let you know tomorrow morning, I want you to be able to tune that to 95.3 because we have started a low-power FM radio station out here in the parking lot just for y'all to get information to that you need, and you're welcome to tune in to 95.3 starting tomorrow morning and get some more stuff.
Just FM.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate it because we're trying to get all the information we can on what's the status of going on in New Orleans. So.
Well, you know, we tried to get this going last Sunday, and we were shut down by the bureaucracy. Would you have appreciated this information a week ago?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I tell you, because we was in the Superdome. We wasn't in contact with any media, any TV, nothing. We just was going by word of mouth. There were so many rumors, we didn't know what was true and what wasn't true. So we didn't know what to do. We didn't know, you know, no newspapers, anything, so we didn't know what to do. But I'm glad you guys have something set up where we can find out what's really going on. So I really appreciate that.
Thank you. Okay, we're still here in Reliance Center, and I'm talking to some people from, where'd you come from?
New Orleans, uptown.
How long you been here?
I've been here since Monday. Last Monday.
So you want to tell me how things have been going? What?
They've been going okay, but the only thing been wrong is when the first time they had the Red Cross called, everybody had the Red Cross. That's for your sister. I mean, everybody had the Red Cross now, and they rooming and were like getting radios and stuff. Now they making it hard. Now you don't get the Red Cross calls no more. You got to go way to the church, and you ain't got no transportation. And they might give you a check if you apply for it. You know?
I see we got three kids here.
Huh?
I see you got three kids here, too.
Oh, that's just the little neighbors.
Oh, they're around the neighbors?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have me, my girlfriend, and my cousin. They can't get us out. We're gone. They've been feeding us good. It's been noisy at night, but it's been pretty good. But the only thing is, it's a runaround with doing things. That's all it is, you know? You got to get a P.O. box. They didn't let you get your ID from Orleans. You need your ID to do this. They're putting everybody out at a certain time. I mean, where are we going to go? They made us come here. Mm-hmm. You know, I just think it's wrong because they're giving us the runaround, and they gave everybody the calls the first 3-4 days, and not since now, since everybody abused the calls, that when people really need them,
you don't have them. Yeah. Is there anything you'd like to share about what's been going on?
No.
Oh, okay. All right, well, help things work out for you. Is your family accounted for? Do you know where everybody is? You know?
Yeah, most of them, but I'm doing good. But Hurricane Katrina really did mess New Orleans, though, so hopefully we can get it back soon.
All right, I'm here in Reliant, and with them, where are y'all from?
New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Same? Yeah. How long you been here?
I've been here since September the 5th.
Is your whole family here? Were you able to come with family, or did you get separated?
Well, we had like 18 people in the Superdome, but we ended up with 12 here and six more that separated in Dallas.
So anything you'd like to tell us about your experience?
Well, it was an awful experience. You know, I wouldn't want anybody to go through what we went through. And like I said, half of the stuff that went on, me and my family lived in a Superdome for 6 days.
How was it there?
It was awful. I mean, we had to sleep on feeders and urine and boxes. And I mean, it was like you had to fight to survive for anything that you needed in there as far as food and everything, because you can be in line an hour waiting to get an MRE, military packet, and someone in front of you let all their family members get into, and that's when fist fights break out. We done seen people that, I mean, we done seen dead bodies and stuff up in there. I mean, it was awful. I mean, no lights, no water, the smell, we did a lot of puking and gagging and stuff, you know, like that. It was a nightmare, like I said, on Am Street. I would never, ever forget it. You know, like I said, then you see the dead bodies floating around in the water, on the ramps, cars floating around in the water. But it was so terrible in the Superdome, we wanted to get out the dome and go into the water. You know, we felt more safe out in the water.
What a choice.
Yeah. We felt more safe out in the Superdome than we did. I mean, we felt more safe out into the water than we did in the Superdome, because we had no police security at all. the National Guards were there, which was true, but they weren't there for your protection, for our safety. They were just there to assure that you don't go onto the, leave the Superdome in the water and pass out MRE packets. And the other military police were standing around with the guns. Once they start evacuating us out the gates, once the evacuation started, make sure you don't bum rush or push anyone down with the, you know, M16 guns and stuff. So, I mean, the only thing, like I said, I'm upset about is the thing that why it took so long for us to be evacuated from, the hurricane came like Monday morning, sun was out like that evening and stuff. We didn't reach here, we didn't leave New Orleans till Friday.
Do you have children with you?
Yes, I do. I'm a single mother of my four children. I have my niece with her two children. I have my grandson, my sister-in-law with her three children. It just was a gang of with children and adults.
How are they doing now?
Well, they're all doing fine. Everyone's just still kind of like throwing up and like dizziness and stuff. That's all. So we're bringing them all to the triage to take, you know, medical shot, you know, to get medicine and drinking plenty of liquids. And we had to take the tetanus shot and stuff. So we're basically doing what we're doing to try to stay healthy up here among all these people.
Are any of the children school age?
Yes, they are, all of them. But we range from 6 years old up until 17.
Have you been able to get into any of the HISD schools since I've been here?
Well, I haven't really tried yet because for the simple fact, my baby daughter, she's 12 years old, and I haven't seen her since we left the Superdome. But I know she's okay, but she's the bus they want to them to Dallas. And when you register the kids, they want the kids with you. And my thing, school is important right now, but right now for me what's important is finding families, building lives, and you're knowing your stability, where you're going to live before school registration. School's going to come with wherever you're going to live because this is our first time up here in Houston. Okay, and if you're not on the Houston roster, it's like you're not going to be missed. So once we find location and home, stability for our family, then we'll try to rekindle our children's minds and lives all over again for our schooling. Because right now it won't do no good if your child is in school and they know their brother or sister is lost somewhere. So they won't function in school anyway, knowing family members are not with them. I know she's fine and stuff. Yeah, she was at the David Convention Center with my sister-in-law and my brother and her, you know, nephew and cousin. It's like six of them together. So she is with other people. Not other people, but family. Because like we said, 12 are here and 6 are in Dallas. But she is okay, and she is with family members of ours. You know,
that's
so I'm not like looking for her, you know. So I thank to God be the glory, you know, that I don't have that. But to people that are looking for people, I just want them to know that, you know, much prayer, much power. Send up your prayers and your blessings going to come through. But you can't just ask where these people need to go and pray to God and leave in His hands.
We started this station tomorrow. It's going on the air the first time, a little community radio station for you out there in the parking lot.
Okay.
We tried to get it going last Sunday. Do you think that would have been a good thing, radio station set up here, broadcasting information to you about what to do, where to go, things like that?
Now that would make the difference because, like I said, a lot of people would have got, you know, better information because now a lot of information, you go here, you go there, you go here, you go there. But I say, like, when we first, a lot of people first came here, I think you would have got a lot of frustrated answers, a lot of, you know, get out of my face and stuff like that. Because a lot of, when we came here, we had a lot of hostility, you know, inside of us. Because it's like people are saying we are being helped, but it's like people can't really help the hurt in your heart. You know, they can't help it. I mean, which I saw, you never forget. You know, and what these people are doing for us, we are very grateful for it. Them, the volunteers, because I volunteer and I know you what you're doing, you strictly have to do it out of love and not just because of Hurricane Katrina. So it's done strictly out of love and we appreciate it to the fullest. You know, me and my family does, and I tell you, I just want everybody to be appreciative and grateful for what's being done. But it won't amount to what God going to do after this.
Thank you.
Okay, nice.
All right, we're back. This is 95.3 Katrina Alternate Media Project Evacuation Radio Services. You can check us out on the web, www.evacuationradioservices.org, for little updates about it. If you want some more information about our project, you can go to houston.indymedia.org. There's pictures of our slick silver Airstream out here where we're broadcasting on low power FM at Dome City to Katrina survivors here at the Dome and Reliance Center. If you need a radio to hear us, you've got a friend, I mean, while you're listening to us, you've got a radio, but if you've got a friend that needs a radio, come on by. We've still got some here for you. We've got little FM scanning radios. We'll give you some batteries. If you've got them, let's give you a little bit of information how to get
the radio broadcast. First, you got to turn the radio off and then turn it on. Press the reset button. This is a scanning thing. So press the scan button, wait about a second, and repeat it about 10 times until you hear evacuation radio services. This is low power FM micro radio coming to you all volunteer with volunteers from Houston Independent Media, Prometheus Radio Project, and grassroots alternative media activists. We've got a little information here to let you know. You can come by if you need some questions answered. We'll try and get the information to you. If you're trying to hook up with family members, we'll try and get shout-outs out to them. Meanwhile, we've got a few mind-numbing quotes on Katrina. Liz is with me here, and these are just quotes that have been picked up and emailed to us from different media outlets and stories.
My first one here comes to you from our President Bush. He said this on Good Morning America September 1st, just 6 days after repeated warnings from experts about the scope of the damage expected from Hurricane Katrina. Our President George Bush said, "I don't think anybody anticipated the breach of the levees."
Oh, God. Here's another one. Louisiana is a city that is largely underwater. That was Homeland Security Chief Michael Chertoff at a news conference on September 3rd.
House Speaker Dennis Hastert on August 31st said, "It makes no sense to spend billions of dollars to rebuild a city that's 7 feet under sea level. It looks like a lot of that place could be bulldozed." He's speaking there, of course, about your city in New Orleans, Louisiana. Looks like it could be bulldozed.
"I believe a town where I used to come from Houston, Texas, to enjoy myself, occasionally too much, will be that very same town, that it will be a better place to come to." That's President Bush on the tarmac of the New Orleans Airport September 2nd.
Man. September 1st comes from FEMA Director, or former Director, Michael Brown. He said, "Considering the dire circumstances that we have in New Orleans, virtually a city that has been destroyed, things are going relatively well."
Here's another one from an CNN interview with Larry King, September 5th. Let's see if you can guess who this is. "You know, I talked to Haley Barbour, the governor of Mississippi, yesterday, because some people were saying, well, if you hadn't set your National Guard to Iraq, we here in Mississippi would be better off. He told me, I've been out in the field every single day, hour, for 4 days, and no one, not one single mention of the word Iraq. Now, where does that come from? Where does that story come from if the governor is not picking up one word about it? I don't know. I can just use my imagination." That's former President George Bush, who gave his imagination a rest on Larry King.
"I have not heard a report of thousands of people in the convention center who don't have food and water." That statement was made by Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff on NPR's All Things Considered September 1st.
"We just learned of the convention center, we being the federal government, today." That was former Hurricane Katrina FEMA Director Michael Brown to ABC's Ted Koppel September 1st, to which Koppel responded, "Don't you guys watch television? Don't you guys listen to the radio? Our reporters have been reporting on it for more than just today."
Here's another quote from our President Bush while he was touring the hurricane damage in Mobile, Alabama on September 2nd. Our president there, he said, "We've got a lot of rebuilding to do. The good news is, and it's hard for some to see it now, that out of this chaos is going to come a fantastic Gulf Coast, like it was before. Out of the rubbles of Trent Lott's house, he's lost his entire house, there's going to be a fantastic house, and I'm looking forward to sitting on the porch." And then he left.
Some of you may have heard this quote on Democracy Now! This week. "Now tell me the truth, boys. Is this kind of fun?" That was House Majority Leader Tom DeLay of Texas to three young hurricane evacuees from New Orleans at the Astrodome here in Houston. "Last night, we showed you the full force of a superpower government going to the rescue." That was MSNBC's Chris Matthews, September 1st. "I also want to encourage anybody who was affected by Hurricane Katrina to make sure their children are in school." First Lady Laura Bush twice referred to Hurricane Katrina while speaking to children and parents in South Haven, Mississippi. That's right. You're listening now to 95.3 FM Dome City Radio, broadcasting to the survivors of Hurricane Katrina out here in our shiny little Airstream in the media parking lot of Dome City. We're being brought to you from volunteers of the Katrina Alternative Media Project Evacuation Radio Services. We appreciate your listening, and we hope you're doing it on one of the 10,000 radios that we've passed out to people in the area. Liz, can you give us an idea of what was happening at the beginning of the week when we were trying to set this up?
Well, at the beginning of the week, it seemed like we had a green light to go ahead and set this project up. Of course, we've had FCC permission since over 2 weeks ago now. They understood the urgency of this and the fact that you people who are listening to this are in desperate need of the information that we have to bring to you. I know I've spoken with thousands of you here at Dome City, and every single one of you has told me how desperate you are for information of what's going on back home and what's going on with your loved ones. How can you get your kids in school? Where's your mail? Where are your pets? What's going to happen to your house? Everything like that. So we're trying to get that information to you here now. And so at the beginning of the week, we were here ready to set up. We actually went so far as to load the transmitter equipment into the car until a low-level official here at the Dome put one more roadblock in front of us, told us we would not be able to be powered off of Astrodome electricity, at which point we replied that we would be completely content to operate from batteries or generator power. At that point, we were simply denied blocking the federal authority we'd already been given to operate the station. And that was the point at which we decided to go ahead and secure our own facility. And so here we are now broadcasting to you from this Airstream trailer outside in the parking lot here at the Astrodome so that we can be sure to get you the information that you need. And if you have any more information that you're looking for, I have some info coming to you soon from different parishes, Jefferson, St. Bernard, Tammany, things like that, about how things are going and what their rebuilding efforts are going to start looking like. But I know you're anxious for more news from back home, so if you want to come out and tell us where you're from, I'll go and track down some specific information for you as best I can.
That's right. We also want you, if you have friends that can get to the internet, go to houston.indymedia.org for updated information about Houston relief efforts. You can also tune into KPFT 90.1 FM, the local Pacifica network here. They've had lots of information of local relief efforts, places that you can go, find out things that you need. Let me read you some of the questions that we've got a Red Cross information thing here. They want to know what you can get from the Red Cross. Well, the Red Cross provides sheltering and food services for individuals and families displaced by a disaster. The Red Cross does not provide housing services. You need to get financial assistance. You need a photo ID, and you must show your pre-disaster address. And what do you need to register your dependents on the application? For dependents, birth certificates must be shown at the time of application, or you must bring the dependents with you when filing if they don't have their birth certificates. Legal services. There are answers to general legal questions, including questions about cases pending, policy lapses, lease questions, and custody issues in Texas or Louisiana available here. Recreation. What kind of recreational activities are available at Reliance City? At the North Fannin lot, the orange lot, outside the east entrance of the Astrodome, there are services available including basketball, arcade, games, playground, an air-conditioned children's tent, moonwalk, Houston Museum. And anybody can use those services, but if you have children under 10, they must be accompanied by an adult.
And I also want to add, for the recreation side of things, a group of volunteers I'm familiar with have set up an art activities area, sort of an arts and crafts area there inside the Dome for your kids. It's free of charge. They can come and go. There's supplies. There's people to help them out with projects, so be on the lookout for that. I know they've been operating for a few days now, and hopefully y'all have been able to get over there and make use of that. Also want to let you know that pretty much every Houston museum is offering free admission to Katrina evacuees. So, sorry about that.
That's okay.
So,
we're still setting up here, getting it together.
Trying to get information to you as quickly as we can here from the trailer in the parking lot. At any rate, as I was saying, the majority of Houston museums, the Art Museum, the Science Museum, the Children's Museum, are accessible to you here right from the light rail that departs from the Astrodome, and they are offering free admission to evacuees, so feel free to go on and check out their services, maybe get some nice air conditioning that way too. Also off the light rail, there's Herman Brown Park, and there's an outdoor theater there that offers free performances every night, as well as matinee performances on the weekend, the majority of which are family-oriented. It's usually a good time out there.
Okay. We still have a couple companies that are looking for their employees. I mentioned earlier Whole Foods Market is missing some employees from their Veterans and Arabella Station stores. they can contact any Whole Foods store and get that information from the store. They're guaranteed a job. There's all kinds of benefits waiting for you. They want to be taken care of. So if you know anybody that works for Whole Foods, come on over to the Dome. We'll get them hooked up with you. UPS is also trying to contact about, well, as of Saturday, 100 employees. We don't know how many they're looking for now. I'm going to read you an email we got from them. So I'm contacting you on behalf of UPS, the package delivery company that was impacted greatly by Hurricane Katrina. UPS had 2,200 employees in the hurricane-impacted area, and UPS has been working hard to make contact with these employees. As of now, UPS still has not made contact with approximately 100 employees. This was as of Saturday. That may have changed. UPS believes these employees likely have been displaced to San Antonio, Houston, and Dallas, and that is why I am contacting you. UPS has established two hotline phone numbers employees should call to make contact with UPS. We would greatly appreciate it if you could publicize these two numbers so that UPS employees in your city can call UPS and make contact. So here's those numbers. 1-866-260-7545. That's 1-866-260-7545. And 1-866-876-0964. That's 1-866-876-0964. UPS really wants to hear as soon as possible from all its employees who were affected by Katrina. And they are thanking us for getting this information out to you, and we're glad to do it.
Another employee search, Shell and Motiva are looking for all of their employees. They have many employees they have not heard from yet. So if you are a Shell or Motiva employee who's been affected by this disaster and you haven't contacted your supervisor, you can go ahead and call one of Shell's emergency response lines. Those Shell emergency response line numbers are 1-866-745-5489 or also 1-877-40-SHELL, and those are open from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Central Time, including on the weekends. So again, if you're a Shell or Motiva employee, 1-877-40-SHELL. They're offering to help you with prescriptions, payroll, banking and mail services, and other employee assistance.
Right, and if there's any companies out there that you'd like us to pass on information about what your contact information for missing employees, please bring it down. We're glad to do that to you. I mean, pass that on so we can get the information and get these people hooked up.
So here's a checklist for you coming to you from 95.3 KAMP, broadcasting to you, the evacuees of Hurricane Katrina in the Dome City from the Dome City parking lot. This recovery checklist comes as recommendations from the United Way of the Gulf Coast. And they recommend that for yourself, you need to make sure you're eating properly and drinking plenty of liquid. I've heard complaints that the resources in there may be somewhat limited as to that, but do try and take care of yourself. Don't take on too many responsibilities as you begin to rebuild. Get plenty of rest. And be available to talk about your fears and concerns. I know there's counselors available in there. Any of you would like to share your stories with us here on the radio and your fellow listeners out there in the community, also please feel free to stop by our trailer in the parking lot. We'll get you on air. And don't hesitate to ask for help when you need it. I know there's thousands of volunteers here in the city and nationwide who are offering you assistance. The recommendations for your children, they recommend that you give them lots of hugs and don't be afraid to provide them factual information about the disaster. And we're, of course, here trying to provide you with that information as well. We've got lots of it coming for you. Help everyone get back to a regular schedule for work and school and things like that. HISD is offering enrollment. We gave out those numbers earlier. I'll have them for you again in just a second. Also, any of you who were enrolled at universities or know anyone who was, every university pretty much across the country has opened its doors to Hurricane Katrina victims. As I mentioned earlier, HCC, that's Houston Community College, has set up here at the Dome. Also, the University of Houston, Rice University, San Jacinto College, Sam Houston University, all of these universities locally have set up programs for Katrina students to just come right in and enroll.
All right, and we also have a news release regarding relief activities underway for children with autism displaced by Hurricane Katrina. There's a connection center that it opened its doors to provide daycare services to autistic children displaced by Katrina. Connection Center, a leading provider of services for individuals with relationship disorders such as autism, is offering daycare services at its Houston location for children on the autism spectrum who have been displaced by Hurricane Katrina. Meanwhile, recognizing that some autistic children have been separated from their families, Connection Center is spreading the word about the signs of autism for shelter workers who may not know what to look for. Individuals on the autism spectrum often have difficulty dealing with dynamic environments and change, so being uprooted from their homes and thrust into uncertainty is especially stressful for them, said Dr. Steve Gutstein, co-director of Connection Center. For at least a few hours a day, we can offer a safe place where the special needs of these children can be cared for while their families work to get back on their feet. Due to space limitations, Connection Center can accommodate up to 4 children at a time. Therefore, families seeking assistance from Connection Center should call Melanie Smith at 713-838-1362, extension 107, to make reservations for their child. Some of the signs of autism include the child does not want to respond to his or her name, the child cannot explain what he or she wants, the child does not speak, the child seems to hear sometimes but not others. The child doesn't follow directions. The child doesn't point or wave bye-bye. The child throws intense or violent tantrums. The child has unusual movement patterns. The child is hyperactive, uncooperative, or oppositional. There are no official estimates of how many autistic children have been displaced by Katrina. According to the most recent Louisiana Public Schools Autism Prevalence Report compiled by Fighting Autism, 1,924 Louisiana residents between the ages of 3 and 22 have been diagnosed with autism in 2003, the most recent year for which numbers are available. That was up more than 50% from the 1,266 cases reported in 2000. Established in 1995, the Connection Center for Family and Personal Development, based in Houston, is a multidisciplinary program to develop innovative evaluation and intervention programs for people with relationship disorders. Led by Dr. Steve Gutstein and Rachel Shelley, the Connection Center staff provides a full range of evaluation and treatment services, including RDI. They provide education and training to families and professionals worldwide. More information is available at www.rdiconnect.com, and the Houston number for that is 832-467-2904. All right, and we're coming to you from the parking lot here at Dome City, 95.3 KAMP, trying to get you some information. I know it's my personal concern to see each and every one of you get back into a normal life as soon as you can. I want to let you know there's still tens of thousands of housing and job offers out there for you around the country. I'm not sure if that information is reaching you, but thousands upon thousands of private individuals have opened their homes to you. So any of you who feel like you don't have a place to go, I want to let you know that it's out there. I know there's some people in the dome right now trying to get you internet access, and we have information available for you once you can get on the net as to how you can get in touch with those people. Not sure if y'all have heard this in there. The FEMA has announced that they will discontinue the debit card program. Hopefully you've heard that by now. Once they've finished giving out their current run of $2,000 debit cards, hopefully you've all received yours, they will no longer be distributing debit cards. They'll be returning to their former methods of distribution for that aid. Okay, and you're listening to 95.3 Katrina Alternative Media Project, Evacuation Radio Services here broadcasting from the Aerostream in the media parking lot of Dome City for survivors of Hurricane Katrina. We've got more radios over here. If you're sharing one with a friend, walk them on over. We'll get you another one. We've got a few left, and we would like to put them in your hands, and we want to thank the people that helped get this together. We've got a lot of volunteers. Donations are hopefully still coming in, and if you would like to help that out, or I mean, if you'd like to come and talk to us about it, just come on over to the Airstream and we'll talk to you.
So helping you to regain that sense of normalcy, we have a few more bulletins from a variety of Gulf Coast employers. Waste management is still looking for several hundred employees. If you're a waste management employee who's been affected by this hurricane, they want to hear from you at 1-800-882-3149. If you were a HERA's employee and you've had felt the impact of Hurricane Katrina, their number there at HERA's 1-877-422-7466. They intend to provide you pay and health care benefits for at least the next 90 days, and they are trying to also provide you relocation to another Harrah's casino. So anyone who might be listening that was a Harrah's employee, again, that number, 1-877-422-7466. Northrop Grumman employees, their check-in line for Northrop Grumman employees, 1-877-744-7642. They also have numbers to provide you with benefits, disaster relief information, and information on your savings account. And then finally, Target employees who have been uprooted by Hurricane Katrina, they ask you to call 1-866-358-3809. That's if you're a Target employee. That number is 1-866-358-3809.
Okay. And we've got some information also. Theater Under the Stars here in Houston invites Katrina victims to escape to the theater for free. That's right. The theater has always been a way to escape from everyday pressures and hardships in the world. This Wednesday, that's tomorrow, and Thursday, September 14th and 15th, act at Tuts. It's an apprentice conservatory training at Theater Under the Stars, invites victims of Katrina tragedy to a night out at the theater with Candor and Ebb's The World Goes Round. Featuring a cast of 40 Houston area teens, The World Go Round highlights music from Candor and Ebb's hit musicals Chicago, Cabaret, and more, as well as their work in film and TV. For each performance, Act at Tuts will offer free rush tickets that will be available beginning 90 minutes prior to curtain and our best available seats. A valid Louisiana, Alabama, or Mississippi ID must be presented at the box office to claim the tickets. Through acts at Tuts High School, age performers have the chance to experience a new level of musical training, which includes an emphasis on all aspects of a live theatrical production. This program is uniquely designed to enhance teens' musical theater knowledge through interaction with professional directors, musical directors, and choreographers. That's tomorrow, Wednesday, September 14th, and Thursday, September 15th at Theater Under the Stars. That's Zilka Hall at Hobby Center, which is 800 Bagby at 8 o'clock.
One more employer announcement here on 95.3 KAMP coming to you from the parking lot. BP employees. BP says they have been in contact with all of their employees, but they're still asking you to stay in touch so that they continue to provide you with details about their humanitarian assistance program. They're offering food, water, and generators, loans for expenses, temporary lodging, a per diem while you're in temporary living quarters, car rentals, cash, and expenses for child or pet care. So if you're a BP employee, they have a 24-hour hotline. It's 1-866-850-7768. Again, for BP, that's 1-866-850-7768.
That's right. And if you need to get a hold of the American Red Cross, they do have a nationwide toll-free call center to assist Hurricane Katrina evacuees. That number is 1-800-975-7585. To apply for aid by telephone, evacuees calling in must be ready to provide their name, the pre-storm address, zip code, and home telephone number to call center agents. Callers must be prepared to write down a client identification number, which they will take to a financial institution in their new community to receive the support. We're going to try and bring you some interviews here. This is from Houston Indie Media. That's the one we play. That's, I don't know how to play it. Okay, and we've got a little technical setup here. We're going to get right to you.
In the meantime, just want to remind you that Houston School District registration is open for you there in the Dome, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. So they're open right now in Hall B. They prefer ID, but it's not required. And the post office is also open for you at 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. They're handling all your postal issues, including change of address, sale of stamps, things like that. But you will need a photo ID to pick up your mail. So here we go now to the interviews done with Houston Indie Media, 95.3 KAMP, coming from the Houston Astrodome parking lot.
Alright, what's your name, man?
Clarence.
Clarence?
Yeah.
So you were in the Superdome?
I was in the Dome.
Did you get here today?
I rode the storm out.
You rode the storm out?
Yeah, I rode, that's the... Yeah.
All right, what's your name, man?
Clarence.
Clarence?
Yeah.
So were you in the Superdome?
No, I wasn't in the Dome.
I rode
the Storm out.
You rode the Storm out?
Yeah, I stayed at my house across the river.
How'd you get here today?
I drove here.
You drove here? They said, did you have any trouble getting in today?
No, I didn't have any trouble getting in.
They said everyone's coming in.
Everybody's coming in. They see nobody was going to be left. They had like 15 more buses coming in.
Uh-huh.
They was going to get everybody off the bridge. And we ain't here nothing else yet.
Did you see any looting when you were...
Yeah, there was still looting going on.
What kind of stuff was it? Was it food, just water?
Food, water, rain, like that. They would
essentials?
Yeah, so they wouldn't try to get no clothing stores or nothing like that.
Okay, so
just food, water.
Just to survive then, right?
Just to survive with.
All right. So how's it over here right now? How long have you been here today?
I've been here since 6 something this morning.
6, 7 this morning?
Yeah, and they've been fine here.
Starting to trickle in? Are you staying here tonight?
Yeah, I'm staying here tonight.
I signed in and everything. Do you have any plans for anything else?
Right now I'm just trying to find the rest of my family members and see where they're located at, see if I can get some 1-800 numbers, call a few more shelters and see if they're located, where we can all get together, you know. Before I leave, I'm going to talk to someone else and put a flashlight on the news.
Yeah.
And see if I can find them.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you, Clarence. All good right. Luck, man.
What's your name?
How you doing? I'm Cleaver Moore. It's like this here. It's like, you know, this with any race of people. You know what I'm saying? If your back is put in the corner when it calls for you to survive for your family, you know what I'm saying? You liable to go to any measures for your child. You know what I'm saying? If it calls for you to break in this store for your child to eat, and you stranded, and the law enforcement is not giving you the type of help. I mean, I stood on a highway and seen 50 state troopers pass. At least they must have had about 1,000 people. It just passed, and they didn't have nobody in their back seats or nothing. I seen several army trucks pass. So you mean to tell me if you're not gonna give me the help I need? Then I should by any means, I should go to any means that I need to survive. You know, you putting my back against the wall, you making me go to these terms. Something that I don't want to do, but you forcing me to do in order for me to survive. I got a 2-year-old child and a 3-year-old child. You mean to tell me I'm supposed to let my seeds die, and you're supposed to help me, and you passing me up in the car, you got a functioning vehicle, and you not trying to help me? You know, so, you know, you have a store that's not even much flooded, but it have food, and you know these people in this neighborhood right here need food, and they're running out of water. But you won't open this store. You know what I'm saying? It's a worldwide evacuation. You won't open this store and take none of the meat and food products out there to get to this family. Well, why shouldn't they do the things that they do? You know, everybody. You know, it ain't see. They like paint a picture about New Orleans and young black men. It ain't about that. It ain't about no color. None of that. It ain't about we head first, buck wild, or none of that. It's about survival, respect. You know what I'm saying? If they would have showed the proper respect towards the people would have showed them the proper respect. And that's all I have to say.
When you got to the ferry, what happened at the ferry? Were there people?
When we got to the ferry, they put us on a ferry. We had to wait till they had to go get some more people from out the region bank, bring them to the ferry. So, you know, they had about like, I see about a good 200 people on a ferry. So when we got on a ferry, they brought us to Canal Street Ferry. When we got to Canal Street Ferry, we had to get off. Then we had to wait on the coach buses and all this shit to come to put people on there to get them to Baton Rouge, because that's where we supposed to been at Baton Rouge. But when we got to Baton Rouge, we ain't even had a chance to get out and go ask them about our family. No, we asking them, we like, man, what about our family, this and that. They like, well, y'all about to go to Texas. How you going to say we're going to Texas and I don't even know nothing about my people, man? You know, people was getting agitated and everything. Going off, we fussing with the people and everything.
Did they just load you on buses?
Man, they loaded us on the buses, told we were going to Baton Rouge. We got to Baton Rouge. We ain't staying in Baton Rouge a good 20 minutes. They straight shipped up talking about we going to Texas. Now, I ain't going to lie to you, but the bus driver that came, she said, now, if y'all won't get off, you know, she radioed up people or whatever. She said, oh, they got people won't get off the bus. You know what I'm saying? So if you wanted to get off the bus, you could have got off the bus. But they said they wasn't letting us out on LSU campus. But that's where they brought us at, the LSU campus. They were talking about letting us out way down the highway somewhere. You know, and it's really about my people. It ain't really nothing about no survival, because I can survive. You know what I'm saying? It's just my people I'm worried about. I know they can't survive how I can survive. You know, I've been out here. You know what I'm saying? So
they need
you know,
us.
They need us.
They need
they
us.
They really need
and
us.
And we want to be there.
Right.
Right.
And we don't even know how we get home.
Like that.
We don't even know how we get home. I don't know nobody out here in Texas. Nobody. I'm straight from New Orleans. I don't know nobody from Texas.
Who knows? So,
which
and you have
Ashland.
Did your daughter stay with her too?
No, I couldn't let my daughter stay. I had to take her and go.
And so what part of town did y'all live?
We lived in New Orleans, and particularly we lived in Algiers. Which I understand didn't suffer quite extensive damage and that the rest of the city did. But the last conversation we had with her was Sunday evening when she said the water was in the home going up the stairs and she took refuge in the second story. That's the last I heard.
You said?
Yeah.
She sounded scared.
Yeah, she was very scared.
What was she saying?
Ashley.
She was. I didn't actually speak with her. It's a relay message from someone she was on the phone with.
So do you think she's lost now?
I hope not.
But then you're over here and there's not really no way for you find out. I mean, I'm just trying to figure out.
Well, I'm praying that what you folks are doing could maybe get something out, and by some miracle, you know, we can find her.
Okay.
What's her name?
Her name is Angela Dupree.
Okay. And what does Angela look like?
She's about 5'9". She has golden. She has a golden brown hair, and she looks like this little girl right here.
And what's your name, sir?
My name is Dennis.
Dupree.
Yes, ma'am.
This is Ashley?
Yes, ma'am.
So you came in on the bus from...
No, I actually traveled with myself and my daughter, but we followed some family here. My dad made it, and one of my grandparents, and an aunt and an uncle.
But you said she wanted to pray the storm away.
Correct.
So she's very religious.
Yes, ma'am, we all are. We're practicing Catholics.
I'm trying to figure out how hard must have that decision been for you to leave her.
It was tough. But one of the particular reasons I left in the haste that I did was she didn't want to leave at that time, and there were opportunities for her to leave after. So, and she refused those opportunities to leave also, and she decided to stay home.
Did you argue about it, or?
Yeah, as best I could. I mean, without, you know, trying to create anything, you know, with more tension than it.
Okay. Can you tell me who you are?
I'm Sharon.
Okay, and you're a Houston resident?
Yes.
And who are you looking for? What are you doing here?
I'm looking for a Miss Willie Bell Call, a Miss Norma Call, a Miss Sheila Call, a Mr. Wilson, a Mr. Daryl Wilson. They were in a high-rise in New Orleans because they left their home in Araby seeking higher ground. We've not been able to find out if they were rescued or not. Miss Willie Bell is 82 years old. Miss Norma is 62 and mentally retarded. And we're here hoping the Red Cross can help us.
And when was the last time you heard from them?
The day of the storm. My sister is here with me who lost her home, her place of employment, her animals, everything but what she had on. Her husband is stranded in Mississippi, along with a lot of other family members that we can't reach by phone and haven't been able to reach for 2 days. We're trying to put together help. We're trying to figure out how to get there to get them out. We just ask that people be praying. It's time for people all across the nation that believe in prayer to pray.
And how did your sister get here?
With my other sister.
How did you make it here?
We went to her house, which is in Cary, Mississippi. From there, we decided to head west, north and west.
North and then west.
And
winded up in Natchez. And came south to my sister here. Is this going to be on the radio or the TV?
90.1 KPFT.
Local?
Local.
Okay. Can I make one short announcement?
Sure.
If there is anyone from United States Marine Incorporated...
I come out the Superdome. They left us in there. They just left us in there to die. And I was one of the ones who lived the life of misery in the Superdome.
What was it that you saw there? Was there no one giving you information?
No information. When you first got there, you got one information. We've been in there 4 or 5 days after that. They didn't tell us anything. And they cut the water off on us. They left out the building. We fend for ourselves. Women was putting women was having their babies. They were just throwing them in the garbage can. Children was committing suicide, jumping off the Superdome because their family lost their whole family and nothing to live for. They were shooting everything. They were stealing the cars, guns, shooting at everybody. Nobody was safe. Babies crying, screaming all day. Sick people had to suffer. It was miserable.
Among the volunteers or the people running the Superdome, did you see any sense of them trying to get it together, or people like, what the hell is going on? Like,
we was like, what's going on? And when we first went in there, and that was on that Saturday, that was the Saturday was the 27th. Didn't tell us nothing, but that one time when we got in there, after that we was defending for ourselves. They didn't care. It was hell up in there.
And so now that you're here, do you feel a sense of relief, or are you happy with this?
I'm so happy that I was able to get me and my four kids out there, and I had to pray for the people who we left behind as we was on the bus going up the bridge looking back. Because you felt like they turned against you. I felt like they was going to just let the water on us. I mean, they was going to shoot us. They had people looting, and they shot them. They handcuffed them and shoot them and tell them, die. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere else to go. Nobody has the hospitals. We done blew the hospitals up. There ain't nowhere to go. Just go on and die. Handcuff two boys up and shot them. Dead. And that wasn't the army. That was the police there. The army, I had nothing against the army. They did the best they could. They was just following orders. And they fell for us. It's just the Louisiana, New Orleans, Louisiana, not going back.
Where are you going?
I'm going to stay here in Houston, Texas. I'm going to California. By my mama. Yes, I was there. It was a nightmare. Always seen, we was right under the part that was falling. So we moved to a different section. It was raining in there. They had about 5 spots it was raining. And the water had to go somewhere, so it came out the vents of the air conditioner. The whole roof was falling, and the insides under the chairs in the stadium, it was falling. So the water had to go somewhere, and it went through the vents. We were there. We were there to see everything. We were there to see people leaving their kids. They think some of those kids are lost. They're not lost. The people abandoned them. Their parents abandoned them. All those kids not lost. They left them. And some of them killed some of the kids. And they had rapes in there, everything you can imagine. I felt like I'm being a taxpayer. Why am I working hard like this and I'm a taxpayer and being treated like this? That's what we work and pay taxes for, for things to go right. It went wrong.
What's your name?
My name is Latasha Allen.
How old are you?
27.
Where are you from?
New Orleans East, Louisiana.
And tell me about what happened when the hurricane came through.
Well, I evacuated to the Superdome Sunday evening, and from there on, 5 days, pure hell. Superdome falling apart, crime, you know, lack of food. We just had to survive on your own.
What was, tell me about, like, just go into a little more detail about what happened there.
Well, it was okay until the water got cut off. Then after that, the guards was patrolling, and then you saw less guards. They treat us like refugees, animals. They brought the water on pallets, and they left the water. Everybody diving in to get the food, diving to get the water. Food lines was Superdome long, wrapped around a Superdome. By the time you get to the front of the line, food gone, it's been a hassle, and they got to stop the line. So it was only, you know, survival after that. Some of the traumatic experiences I endured in the Superdome was waking up to gunfire in the hallways. One guy took the guard gun and shot him in the leg. Then they had to find the guy that had the gun. And they finally contained him. The next morning, we had to wake up to the dorm on smoking. They tried to set the dorm on fire. So that many people in that capacity, they freaked. And they really was trying to get out of there. And it was a lot of people pushing and shoving. The guards had us by gunpoint. If that barricade came down, they said it was going to shoot. And we feared for our lives. It was plenty of times that we didn't think we was going to make it out there alive. And they had lack of communication. All the guards did not have walkie-talkies to tell us what needed to be going on. We was in the wrong spot a lot of times. But, you know, God made himself fit to make us go to the right exit. And you had one exit going out there, Superdome. And we was lucky enough to have, we was blessed enough to have gotten on one of the first buses to get out of there. But they have little children dropping. They had old folks passing out. Little children dehydrating. They had a whole bunch of stuff just happening. They was trampling little kids, anybody and everybody. It was all for yourself. So you had to really be strong to survive, you know, those conditions. You couldn't use the bathroom. The water was off, so the smell in the hallways really made you sick. And my three kids, they're suffering with rashes now. I don't know what they're going to do about that. I'm just giving them medication, but it was really a chaotic experience in the Superdome. And then I heard...
Welcome back. You're listening to 95.3 FM, Katrina Alternative Media Project, Evacuation Radio Services, brought to you by the Houston Independent Media Center. We want to thank KPFT 90.1 FM Local News and Houston Independent Media Center reporters for those interviews that were brought to you here from the Reliance Center and the Astrodome at Dome City for the survivors of Hurricane Katrina. We're joined here now live by Nee, who has been walking around the Dome City the last couple of days entertaining evacuees and volunteers with music. And he's going to tell us about a song that he's written here, and he's going to play it for you today. Nee?
Hello, everyone. It's an honor, and thank you for... opportunity to be on air and sing for everyone in Houston and nationwide. My name is Nee. I was a U.S. military site manager in Iraq. I was a U.S. convoy supervisor in Iraq. And before that, I was a U.S. military tanker supervisor in Middle East. I happen to be the first one wrote the song about Hurricane Katrina, and I already happened to sing that and record that. And I wrote many songs about men and women serving in Iraq. As a request, I'm going to sing a song about the parent who had the loved one that served in Iraq. For example, brother and sister and cousin and relative and all that. And this song I want to dedicate to everyone in the country, including all the children, all the sister and brother. This song is about how value of our humankind, you know, is. The song I was called this song is I'm wishing you were here with me.
Thank you.
Right now. Yeah, here's the song. And want you to wait for me in dreams. Dream of no one else but me on the lonely night, and not sharing your love to any another. One day you say about you, you got sought and have gone forever. How can I live if you never coming back? It is so hurt, my dear. This is the biggest loss of all. For when it will stop hurting, that I shall never know. The world and the money can replace the mercy, but the world and the money, they can't replace on you.
Thank you, Nee. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Can we talk to you a minute about how things have been going for you the last couple days around here? Excuse me.
I happen to be the first one that wrote the song and sing the song for every evacuee and the people here, the victims of Hurricane Katrina. I was here since the beginning. I volunteering a lot of work, like serving the food. Basically, most of the time I sing the music for the people here inside the Astrodome. I help them, I move them to the medical facility whenever they need it. I happen to sing for the military, sing for law enforcement, HPD here. I happen to sing for people on the wheelchair, the elderly and the children. And I has been on every TV stations and radio station and the reporter and the photograph and all that around. I happen to be the one that wrote a song about tsunami and a lot of songs about men and women served in Iraq.
Okay. What's been your most memorable experience since you've been here? A particular survivor or something that happened?
The first day. The first day is totally different with what we are right now, right here. The first day is people was everywhere, so crowd, and people was not knowing nowhere or you know how to ask, where to ask for help. And we were volunteering here. We love the people. We helping from one to another let them know that we care and we love for the people from New Orleans, Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama, or any other state. The reason that I wrote the song because no one ever done it. I wrote and I sing side by side. I sing next to them and happened to be the first.
I'm sure they really appreciated that. We know how important music can be in times of stress, and it can help relax people and give them a sense of calm, and I know that your efforts have been most appreciated here. Thank you for entertaining
you.
Us as well.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're listening to 95.3 FM, Evacuation Radio Services, the Katrina Alternative Media Project, also known as the Katrina Aftermath Media Project. We're here broadcasting to you live from our Airstream radio station out in the media parking lot of the Astrodome near the Reliance Center, where Dome City survivors have been struggling to try and get their lives back and make sense of everything that's happened to them. And we have information here for you about whatever services that you can get to. We're going to try and hook up with some of the people that have been walking around and see what kind of information they need. If you have one of the radios and you've been tuning into it, we've got a few more here. We can get them to you. They've been donated. This whole project is run completely by volunteers. Anybody that wants to get information to the Katrina survivors that have been hooked up with local media activists have been here, and we're appreciative of their efforts. We also want to thank the Prometheus Radio Project, KPFT 90.1 FM, and the Pacifica Network for lending their support to these efforts. Some of the interviews that you've heard and will be hearing over the next few days have also been taken from them. I want to give you a little bit of information. We've got the Houston Chronicle here and some other newspapers. We know you probably don't have access to a lot of information about what's coming out of Louisiana. I want to give you a story that was in the Albuquerque Journal by Miguel Navro, and this is about earth movers clearing roadways. An advanced team sent to search the demolished east bank of the Mississippi River here shoved displaced houses and mobile homes off roadways with heavy earth movers, clearing a path for other crews to search for cadavers. New Mexico Army National Guard soldiers lending muscle to the authorities of Pequemines Parish pushed several houses thrashed by Hurricane Katrina off the main levee roadway. Homes around the area were lifted off their foundations and tossed about, leaving behind perhaps the most severe cleaning jobs in local memory. "I don't think we've had one like this ever," said Lieutenant Danny Spears of the Parish Sheriff's Office. A tandem of earth movers borrowed from a river ship loading company, crawled south Wednesday on the Mississippi's east bank. One scoop loader rammed wood frame homes that had been impeding passage. Another earth mover followed to push back remaining debris. Soldiers from the New Mexico National Guard operated both machines. Sergeant David E. Montoya, 34, a natural gas company worker from Farmington, took the lead in slamming houses out of the way. "We're driving into someone's house," Montoya said during a work break. "We're just shoving them around. Someone's going to come back and look at this. There's all this destruction, but we've destroyed it even worse. I mean, that's someone's life." Flanking the Mississippi on Louisiana's southeast peninsula, Pequemines Parish remained off limits last week to most of the 27,000 residents who lived here. Several oil and fishing towns planted along the river's edge are still inaccessible by road, more than a week after Katrina pushed through. Electricity is still disconnected throughout the region. The clearing crew worried, though, that drooping and fallen utility lines still carry voltage. "We have all these wire lines everywhere," Montoya said, eyeing a couple of black wires that leaned on the house they were pushing away. "They say they have no charge, but you never know." Moving dozens of houses over nearly 15 miles, crews finally reached the small town of Point Alahache, a critical point on Parish Road 15. Local officials describe the town as a settlement of immigrant laborers from Laos, Mexico, and Vietnam. Authorities are concerned that some residents balked at fleeing for storm evacuation centers out of fear that they would be returned to their countries of origin. Guardsmen combing the waterlogged neighborhoods are finding stray dogs inside some homes. The only water around is the noxious stew of oil and river water covering the areas bordered by levees. That's brought to you from the Albuquerque Journal. We also have information that in the Tangipahoa Parish, public school students will return to classes September 15th as scheduled in a new school calendar the school board approved during a special meeting on Thursday. All school system employees return to work September 14th. School administrators told the school board that they believe the system schools are ready for occupancy, even though a third of the schools were damaged August 29th by Hurricane Katrina. And that was from Deborah Lemoyne to theadvocate.com. I'm joined now by Liz, another volunteer here at the evacuation radio services.
I just got an interesting news bulletin from a source out here in the parking lot letting me know that the government contract for people who are out looking in New Orleans and that area for bodies and survivors, that contract runs out at midnight tonight, and they are not intending to renew that contract. So any of you who have not heard from relatives who are still concerned that people might legitimately be missing, might not have evacuated, you need to get in touch now. There's a variety of websites. I'm certain officials there in the Dome can help you out. If not, come out to us. We'll try and put you in contact. Again, that contract runs up out at midnight. The government does not intend to renew at this point, as far as sources are saying. So if you are missing family members, it is urgent that you try and get in touch. Let somebody know. Get it on the website. There's people in the Dome there to help you with that. Find them or come talk to us.
Thank you, Liz. That's important information. One thing I want to add, I need to make a correction at the beginning of our broadcast and a couple times throughout. We've asked you to come out to the Aerostream to talk to us. We've been informed that you can't come all the way out here. There, down at the end by the gate of the Reliance Center, you can see some police officials and at the gate there. If you want to let them know, or just stand over by the curb and wave at us, we'll see you there, and we'll get somebody over from the Katrina Alternative Media Project to talk to you. If you want to tell us your story, if you want to send a shout out to family members, whatever you'd like to know, let us know what kind of information you need. We can find it out, but get our attention. Stand over by the curb and wave, because unfortunately you just can't walk across the little few parking spaces to get to us. We've got some more information from the St. Tammany Parish. The parish is allowing residents to return. President Kevin Davis gave residents the official all clear to return to their property on Friday. The parish had requested that residents stay away to facilitate restoration of utilities and debris cleanup. But many people had been returning for several days. This was told to WWL-TV. Davis also asked residents to stay off the streets because 3,000 crews were working to restore utility service. About 33% of electricity has been restored, he said. There's also some concern about golf courses suffering hurricane damage. I don't know that that's a real priority at these times, but for some people, I guess it is. This is Katrina, Alternative Media Project, Day 1, broadcasting from the Dome City parking lot at the Astrodome and Reliance Center complex, where the survivors of Hurricane Katrina, even though the population is dwindling, we are here for you. We're a little late in getting up and running. We had tried to do this about a week ago, but we're here now, and we're glad to be with you. I'm joined now by Cree. Cree, what you got for us?
We're starting to get a few people that want to come in and talk about things going on, and in just a minute, I was hoping to bring on a guy who's got some songs and a little bit to talk about on the radio. So just whenever we can get a break, I wanted to bring him in here.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right,
that'd be great. I'll read you another couple short stories while he's getting them together. Residents need ID to re-enter the Paquemines Parish. You'll have to excuse some of my pronunciations on this. I'll be corrected, I'm sure. The parish president, Benny Roussel, said that parishhoods have it, some do not. There are no grocery stores open, so people will have to bring their own food and medicine in with them. That's also a concern, the medications and the food, of course, the food issue. We're hoping that that's getting a little better. This is 95.3 Katrina Alternative Media Project, brought to you by the Houston Independent Media Center and other grassroots media volunteers. We've got some, we've got a guest coming in. Hi, how are you doing?
Much better.
That's good. Have a seat.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Lori. I'm Houston Indie Media. What's your name, sir?
Paris Davis.
Okay.
Pleased to meet you.
Yes. We're glad you're here. Are you hanging in all right this week?
Oh, much better. Much better.
Where did you come from?
I came from initially in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
And Hurricane Katrina.
What part of New Orleans did you live in?
The metro mm-hmm. city, and right at the Gus High Rise, and that is public housing in New Orleans. And thank the Lord to know that the helicopter came and got us off the roof, brought us straight to the New Orleans International Airport.
Wow.
And from there, we took a plane, and it brought us to Arizona, mm-hmm. Tucson, Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Boy, that's a very stressful time for you, I'm sure. You weren't injured or anything? You're all right?
Well, you know, I had a lot of experiences where I know, you know, we're going to have, you know, good and evil in the world, you know, because that's what God said. It's a world with good and evil. And then the Lord had already told us about these last days, you know, about perilous times, about famines, you know, no food, no water, like earlier when you was already talking about the stores closed, they were. Mm-hmm. And you can't get medicine, you know, gas stations, you know. And but the point is, we knew all this, you know, we then knew the prophecy. And now, when we look at history now and we see the facts, and we can say, you know what, it's real. You know, so but then he said a lot of positive things. You know, the Lord said, oh, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, you know. And it's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, down the skirts of his garment. There the Lord commanded the blessing, you know, and that's what he wanted to do now. He wanted to continue commanding blessings. And so God is using people. God works through man. He wants people to continue to interact and execute with their communications and organizations and neighbors, helping neighbors and children, you know, and families, loved ones, you know, brothers and sisters. He wants us to do, when we execute and do it, that's what gives hope. That's what gives healing. That's what lifts the burdens off the shoulders. That's what destroys the yokes. You know, that's what takes the stress away. When, if I can tell you what my problems are and you can resolve, hey, you know, you done took care of that, you know. And so, and this is what's happening. People continue to do that here and other places, and a lot of people, now they see the light at this tunnel brighter than it was before. Now they see the pieces of the puzzle coming together. They see a clearer picture than from where it was in the war zone and the trauma where it was. Now a lot of them now, they'll tell you, hey, this is a metamorphosis from where they were. And I can say the same thing. And so, I mean, civilization, you know, this is what we was looking for coming out of where we were. And then this is what America is all about, having, you know, these unalienable rights, you know, with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, you know. So I thank God, you know, that it could have been worse than this here. And I just want to say to all the people, your loved ones, you know, that you know that the Lord called them. But God promised you that, hey, you know, if you trust in me, well, you know what? And by faith, you know, that one day, you know, you're going to see your loved ones again. And you know, God is not a man that he should lie. And so now, but all of us who are here now, hey, get a good grip on him and follow the Spirit. Follow his Spirit, because that's what his plan is, for us to follow the Spirit. And if we do that, don't quench him, don't grieve him, and, you know, let him impart to us. He's already interceding for us. But stay on that path when you know God is answering prayers, when we know we're watching the manifestations of what God is doing. We know what we said when we dialogue individually or collectively, when we praying. So if you say, or if I say, or if someone say, well, Lord, fix this situation or change those circumstances and, you know, loosen the burdens over there. And then when we begin to see God's working through man and doing these things, hey, you know, we got to acknowledge that, hey, God is still doing it. He inhabits eternity. Well, his time is not our time on everything. So we know the world wasn't made in one day neither. So everything don't happen in one day. But keep pressing your way. Keep praying. Keep praising. And I guarantee you, you know, as a man thinketh, so he is. As a woman thinketh, so she is too. And you'll be stronger, a lot more stronger with him, you know, than, you know, not doing it another kind of way.
Oh, thank you. That's why I see you're holding the guitar there. Would you like to play a little music for us?
Sure.
Sure, go ahead.
Thank you. This song is something that I was talking about earlier. Oh, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And it's taken from the 133rd Division of the Psalms. Blessing even life evermore. For there our Heavenly Father commanded the blessing even life forevermore. For there the Lord Jesus commanded the blessing even life forevermore. For there the Lord commanded the blessing even life evermore. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together, unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, down to the skirts upon his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountain of Zion. For there our Heavenly Father commanded the blessing even life forevermore. For there the Lord Jesus commanded the blessing even life evermore. For there the Holy Spirit commanded the blessing even life evermore. For there the Lord commanded the blessing even life evermore. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
That was lovely. Thank you. Thank you very much for joining us today. You know where your family members are?
Yes.
Is everything good?
Yes.
Good.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for being with us. We appreciate it. And you heard that right here live, 95.3 Katrina Alternative Media Project here at Dome City Parking Lot, part of the Evacuation Radio Services. We do have a website, www.evacuationradioservices.org. You can also go to houston.indymedia.org. If you want to see pictures of our broadcast station here and the volunteers who have been working very hard, even though this is only our first day on the air, believe you me, we've been busting butt for the last 7 or 8 days trying to make this happen. We thought we were going to be on the air for you last week. Things got stalled, but we're here now. And we're here because we believe that you have the right to information and communication about what's happening to you here. We know that your life is in turmoil. This is not anything anybody expected. Things are up and down and all around, and you don't know what's going on. We had the idea of trying to bring this information to you, and this is the result of that idea and the dedication of the alternative media grassroots activists that have put this together. Nobody's paying us for doing this. We're taking time off of work. I should be there right now. I'm going to have to leave for a little bit, and I'll be back in about an hour and a half because there's real world things out there to take care of. But this is important to us. This is why we put this project together. It's been a very cooperative effort by the Houston Independent Media Center reporters and volunteers, the Prometheus Radio Project, KPFT, and the Pacifica Network, which their local affiliate here is 90.1 FM. They've been gracious enough to share interviews with us that you'll be hearing over the course of our broadcast. And again, we ask you, if you've gotten one of those little radios, you're listening to us, that were donated to you, and you want to pass on some information to us, or you have questions and need some answers. Unfortunately, you can't walk over here to the little silver dome, but boy, if you go over there in front of the Reliance Center by the gate and wave at us from the curb, ask one of the other volunteers to come over and tell us that you need to talk to us, or one of the officials, the police or sheriff that are out there by the gate, we'll get hooked up with you. We'll come over and talk to you because we are here for you. This is a media project that has never been done before, to my knowledge. I mean, this is groundbreaking radio, and it's coming to you because we care about the residents of Louisiana and Mississippi and Alabama, those affected by this crisis. It's been very important to us to bring this information to you. I hope you're appreciating it. I hope you're hearing it. If you want to give us any feedback on us, come over, wave at the curb. If you are you listening, we are broadcasting outside of the dome area. When I was driving around this morning before we officially went on the air, we had a loop broadcasting overnight giving information about the station and when we were going to start broadcasting. I could pull it from about 3 miles away from here. So if you happen to be in your car and you're listening to us and you're not a survivor of Katrina, but you still have input or you want to ask some questions, you can contact us through the Houston Indie Media site. That's houston.indiemedia.org. There's a contact email there you can click on and send us some email. It might be a little bit delayed. We are sort of low-tech radio over here. We don't have telephone access, so we do not at the moment have internet access here in the Airstream, but we're working on that, and hopefully we'll be able to get that set up, and then we'll be able to bring you even more current information. We've got a couple volunteers here. We've got Cree and our engineer Jerry. Jerry, we're so grateful for everything that you've done for us. We wouldn't be able to be doing this if it wasn't for your efforts, and we appreciate that, appreciate the Prometheus Radio Project and KPFT and Houston Indie Media. So you're listening to 95.3. Right now, I'm going to bring you some interviews that were collected from Houston Indie Media and KPFT local news, and we'll get back to you in a little bit.
And there's a street, here's a street, where all the boys and the good folks meet down in New Orleans, in the land of dreams. And you never know how nice it seems, and there's so much really means. No, 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 dear to me.
When Hurricane Ivan visited Cuba in September 2004, 1.9 million people were evacuated with zero deaths. This is in a country with a total population of 11.2 million. Salvano Buceno, the director of the UN International Strategy for Disaster Reduction, commented at the time, the Cuban way could easily be applied to other countries with similar economic conditions, and even in countries with greater resources that do not manage to protect their population as well as Cuba does. Compare this with the U.S.'s response to Hurricane Katrina that hit New Orleans on Monday, August 29th of 2005. With advanced warning of the hurricane, the mayor of New Orleans ordered an evacuation of the city. However, unlike the collectivist approach of Cuba, evacuation in New Orleans was left to the individual to organize. This left tens of thousands of low-income African Americans as well as poor whites with neither a means of leaving nor a place to go. New Orleans is a city of about 500,000. 70% are black and 30% are living below the poverty line. Jordan Flaherty, a union organizer and an editor of Left Turn magazine, was in New Orleans when the Hurricane Katrina came to New Orleans. I talked to him on September 5th, 2005. So let's begin with your own story. Can you talk about why you decided to stay in New Orleans, the storm itself, and your own eventual evacuation from New Orleans?
Well, a lot of people stayed in New Orleans because they didn't have the resources. For myself, I didn't have a car. There was no rental cars available. There was no flights available. All of that was booked, and there was no other facilities made available. I also, I'm more fortunate than a lot of people in that I had a fairly sturdy place to stay in, and I live in a second floor apartment. And, you know, these disasters, whether it's the tsunami in Southeast Asia or the hurricane in New Orleans, they affect most the people with the least resources, the poorest folks, and that's certainly the case in New Orleans. The neighborhood that was flooded was the Ninth Ward and the Lower Ninth Ward, which is the most overexploited community in New Orleans, the community that, you know, it's something like 95% black, maybe even in the Lower Ninth Ward, maybe 98% black. There's a 40% illiteracy rate. Frederick Douglass High School in the middle of the Ninth Ward, I don't remember the exact statistic, but I believe less than 50% of their senior class will be graduated from high school this year. You have a huge amount of young black males from that area being taken to the Angola prison, which is a former slave plantation where the prisoners there, overwhelmingly black males, still do the same work that black males did there when it was a slave plantation. They're cutting sugar cane, they're picking cotton, they're also forced to perform, or, you know, they make a choice, but it's obviously a very limited consent when you're in prison. But they perform in this prison rodeo where people come from miles around to watch the prisoners in this rodeo for entertainment, where many of them are injured or killed. And more than 90% of the people in Angola prison end up dying in Angola prison. So New Orleans is a city that, and I have to talk about this because this is the real hurricane that hit New Orleans is not Hurricane Katrina. The real New Orleans hurricane was the hurricane of disinvestment, of deindustrialization, of neglect, of corruption. That's the hurricane, and that's what's been hitting the poor people of New Orleans for decades now, and that's what this was about. Hurricane Katrina was not such a big deal. Sunday night, it hit us. You know, we into Monday morning. When we got up Monday morning, we didn't have power and there was some flooding, but we felt like things were pretty much okay. Things were a little worse in the Ninth Ward, certainly, but we felt like, you know, the water was going to start getting pumped out, the electricity work, you know, people would start working on it, and it would be back within a week or so. We felt like things would be okay. And then it was the following morning that the levee broke and the water rose another 9 feet. And the levee broke because the Bush administration and previous administrations, too, refused to do the shoring up, refused to build up the barrier islands around the city. You had, just in the last year, FEMA requested $105 million for levees and other protection for the city, and the Bush administration cut it down to $40 million. You had, back in 2001, early 2001, FEMA said that the three top potential catastrophes to hit the U.S. would be a terrorist attack in New York, a hurricane to hit New Orleans, and an earthquake to hit San Francisco. So all of this has been known in the 1800s, at least since the 1800s, they've known that New Orleans was in danger of flooding, and it was an issue at the time. In 1927, New Orleans was flooded by a flooding of the Mississippi River, the great Mississippi River flood of 1927, and that flood, just like this flood, was about racism, and it was about politics. They didn't have to flood the areas that they flooded in 1927. They flooded Plaquemines Parish, just south of New Orleans as a political decision. They purposely broke those levees and flooded that overwhelmingly black and poor community in 1927 to protect the richer and whiter communities that were upriver from Black Mines Parish, to make sure that those communities were not in danger. They purposely broke the levees outside Black Mines Parish. They promised those people then that they would be reimbursed for the damage to their homes, and they were never reimbursed. And you see the modern equivalent of that today. You know, and so since 1927, at least, people have known that this is a danger and this would happen. People knew it again and again. They refused to build up the city. And overwhelmingly, the mostly white, mostly wealthier uptown area did not get flooded. And we don't have all the answers of why that is, but we can certainly take some guesses about what this was about. So back to your question, I was in, I actually moved at the last minute from my apartment to a friend's apartment about 15 blocks away that was even more sturdy. It was an apartment building, a former warehouse. So we were even more protected. It was a five-story building. And while there, we rode out the storm. We were feeling good on Monday. Tuesday, things were certainly getting a lot worse. We tuned into the media, and we could see it was just what the mainstream media is always doing, which is making people terrified, making people scared. All they would talk about is the looting. Occasionally, they would talk about flooding, but they would say maybe it was going to go up another 15 feet. They were just making people terrified and not giving any helpful information. Our governor, Governor Blanco, a day before the hurricane, went on to a press release, and she urged the people of New Orleans to try and pray the hurricane down to a level 2. On Tuesday night, it was announced that the waters might be rising up another 12 feet, and Governor Blanco went on the radio to say that she was calling for a day of prayer for Wednesday. So our state officials were doing nothing. Certainly, the federal officials, the Bush administration, were doing nothing. And the media and certain politicians were whipping up fears about the mostly black residents of the city, about looting. As if you could even call it looting when people have no food and no water and they're going into stores where the food and water is just going to be... It's right up here. It's going to go bad or is not going to be accessible to anyone for weeks, and they go and get that. Also, a lot of people had to actually pay to get out of New Orleans. So people were, in some cases, stealing so that they could trade to get out. People were charging for boat lifts out. People were charging for buses out. There's also been private companies, by the way, that have been doing major profiteering off of this, that have been paying to airlift wealthy people out. They've been paying for buses. There was a report of one hotel that paid $25,000 for a few buses to come in and evacuate people from the hotel. So, you know, we're seeing the privatization to some extent of that, of even the hurricane relief. And I think some of the looting was a response to that, and also a response to going back to 1927 when people's homes were destroyed and they never got the money to pay them back. If your home was destroyed in this flood, you would expect, if you're poor and black, that you might never see that money again. And so it would be very reasonable then to at least try and get yourself a stereo or a DVD player or something, because that's all that you were getting.
And how did you yourself leave New Orleans?
So I stayed through till Thursday. At that point, there was more evacuations happening. There was very little in evacuations happening in those first few days. There was not helicopters. There was a lot of individual efforts, individuals going around by boat and picking people up. There was a lot of individual acts of kindness, which wasn't reported because they were too busy focusing on the looting. On that Thursday, the Coast Guard helicopter actually came down. A soldier jumped down and said that they were going to start evacuating the building. They evacuated a few elderly and infirm people off of the roof of the building, 9 people, on that Thursday morning. And then all through Thursday, there were boats going out to a little patch of land not far from the building we were in. And so I evacuated out Thursday evening, one of the last people in the building. And I got a ride from somebody on a boat. They took me to a patch of land where a helicopter came, and I think some people would wait on that patch of land for quite a while, but by the time I got there, a lot of people from our building, at least in our area, had evacuated, and there wasn't much of a line. So I then got that helicopter lift to a refugee camp the refugee camp was maybe 2,000 people. About 90% of them were black and poor. People were behind barricades at the edge of a highway, an interstate highway. And there was National Guard and state police and Salvation Army and Red Cross. The state police and National Guard were there with guns, sort of patrolling the area, not pointing the guns at people, but telling people to stay behind the barricades. So people were behind the barricades just basically in piles of mud. There was no trash cans anywhere, so when people got food, the wrappers were just thrown on the ground. It was, you know, people were just standing in mud and trash. And there was no system at all. I talked to representatives from the National Guard, folks from the state police, folks from Salvation Army, folks from the Red Cross. I even went to talk to all the journalists in that area, and I said to the journalists, have you talked to any officials? Is there any official that is giving any information on how many buses are coming, when the buses are coming, where the buses are going to? And all of them, from a Fox News affiliate to German TV to Australian TV, were completely frustrated and said that the people running this were giving no information and either did not know what they were doing or were clearly neglectful. So you could not get any information about what was happening. A bus would pull up. It would pull up to a different spot every time, at least from what I saw in the time I was there. The state police would open up a gap in the barricades, and again, this gap would be at a different spot every time. People would rush onto the bus, and some people would be able to get on. And then there was no announcement while people were getting on of where the bus was going to. And once you were on the bus, they would tell you where the bus was going to. So, for example, if you got on a bus that was going to Arkansas, once you were on the bus, you'd find out you were going to Arkansas. Now, if you had family in Baton Rouge that you could stay with, Baton Rouge is about 1 hour from New Orleans. You have to go through it to get to Arkansas. Arkansas, depending on where you're going, is, I'd say, at least 6 hours and probably longer. But while that bus is going, as it passes through Baton Rouge, even if you have family you could stay with, they would not stop and let you out in Baton Rouge. You were going to Arkansas. So people had no options, no information with which to make decisions. And as I say, there was no line. So there was no saying buses to Houston are stopping here, buses to Arkansas are stopping here, or here's one line for all the buses. People can get in a line. Here's where the buses will be stopping. None of that information was available. It doesn't take money or resources to give that information. It just takes caring about people, thinking about people, and feeling like you're dealing with humans and not some great mass that needs to be controlled. And that was the attitude that I feel like was coming from the top. I actually feel like the individual state police and National Guard, and I don't necessarily have anything against them, but the orders that they were getting were clearly not orders that were, you know, for dealing with humans. They were orders for dealing with a mass that they didn't really care about. And that's what I saw at this refugee camp. I actually ended up basically hitchhiking out of the refugee camp, and I got a ride from the Australian journalist. But, you know, that was not an option that was available to most people there in that refugee camp. People were waiting for many, many hours. Some people had been waiting for 12 hours. There's no special, you know, facilities or no special anything for people that were handicapped, for children. Again, it was just a mass of people getting onto the bus. A lot of people were just sitting on the side, not even trying to get on the bus because, you know, they didn't want to deal with the mass of people, or maybe they weren't able to. And there was no tents, there was no chairs. People were just sitting in the sun, sitting in the mud, sitting in the trash. And that was the refugee camp, and this is how the U.S. deals with the people of New Orleans.
What do you see as the reason behind the unorganized aid relief?
The federal government especially and you know, politicians in general and media in general do not care about the people of New Orleans. New Orleans is a place that is to me a very special place, and we can talk more about that later, but it is, I will just say briefly, it's a place that has brought a lot of culture into the U.S. where a lot of jazz and blues was born, a lot of hip-hop comes out of New Orleans, Mardi Gras, it's a tourist destination for the U.S. It's a very, you know, a lot of U.S. food. A lot of, you know, famous U.S. chefs come out of New Orleans. It's given a lot culturally to the U.S. and to the world, but the people of New Orleans get none of those resources. The people of New Orleans are overwhelmingly black and poor and overexploited, and they receive none of the resources of the U.S., and the people of the U.S. do not care about them. Bush flew over the hurricane area, I think it was Thursday, maybe it was Friday, and he then, you know, spoke to the press, and he was jovial. He was, you know, making jokes. He did not seem concerned. And then a day later, I think he got some comments from his handlers and tried to seem more concerned, but they don't care. They do not care.
Can you talk a little bit more about your impressions of the mainstream media's coverage of the events in New Orleans and how that compared to what you were actually seeing and experiencing?
Well, I will say that although New Orleans is a small town, when it's flooded, you can't see a lot of it. So, you know, I didn't see the Superdome, I didn't see the Convention Center, I didn't see Canal Street. But what I saw was people, you know, standing up for other people, and I saw community. And that's what I've always seen in New Orleans. And I've lived in New Orleans for several years, and I love the people of New Orleans. And it really hurt me to see how the media was portraying people. And it'll be a while, and, you know, we'll have to do a lot of oral histories before we really find out everything that happened in New Orleans and who was shooting who. Maybe you've talked to, or maybe you will be talking to, Malik Rahim, who's a longtime community activist and community organizer. I know he has stories of white vigilante gangs going around with guns that certainly was not reported by the media. He has stories of people who had to, as I was mentioning earlier, steal goods to be able to pay for their way out of the city, people who had to, quote, steal food because they had to feed their family. Those are stories that he's witnessed. You know, what I witnessed was people in boats giving rides to other people, people, you know, working a lot of time and hours to try and make sure everyone was taken care of. There was certainly a lot of chaos and a lot of fear, and I think a lot of the chaos and fear was driven by the media. When we would turn on the TV, there was no solid information. It would be so easy for a politician or anyone to say, this is what we know, and in 3 hours or in 6 hours or in 12 hours, we're going to give you an update about what you know. But at least the press that we were able to get from New Orleans, and we just had a battery-powered TV, and, you know, we could just get a couple stations. But one of the stations for a little while was actually relaying CNN, so we got a little bit of CNN as well. And what we got was, you know, just talk about looters, talk about flooding, no solid information, no information about how to get out, no information about, about what was happening with the levee that was broken, what it would take to fix it, how long it would be till the flooding went down. We still had actually a lot of hope that within a few days the flooding would start to go down, which now we see is certainly not the case, but, you know, we could not get any information on that. There was no information. There was just fear-mongering. And the media in the U.S. has always demonized black people, and in this case, they were especially demonizing them. And it really, I think, helped to distract from the real criminals. There was billions of dollars of damage that was done to this city through what I would say is purposeful neglect and corruption, and that is the real crime. And that is not covered. It's amazing to me how much time they spent covering some people stealing thousands or even tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars, if you count all the people all combined, of maybe electronics equipment or whatever, versus billions of dollars of damage that was completely preventable and that was completely caused by our government and by politicians that didn't care and by this corporatization of our government and this cutting of any sort of infrastructure and of any support for infrastructure.
Okay, now my next question you've partly answered, but I think it's something that can be elaborated more, we can talk more about, is the mainstream media has focused on the aid relief done by Red Cross, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, and the Army, but they haven't talked about the community level or the grassroots aid relief. I think you touched a bit on that. Could you discuss the role grassroots and community organizations are playing in the aid relief and of their future role in the redevelopment of New Orleans?
this is, I think, the most vital topic that we can talk about, and it's completely related to the reconstruction of Iraq, the reconstruction of Southeast Asia post the tsunami, and you know, Naomi Klein has done some excellent writing on both of those topics. I know that she has something coming out soon on this topic. It is completely vital right now that we as people in solidarity with the people of New Orleans from all around the world really push for the money that comes in to go to the people of New Orleans. And anyone that listens to this, I especially urge people to go to www.sparkplugfoundation.org, sparkplugfoundation.org. And that has a listing of local, grassroots, democratic, people of color-led organizations with a long history of work in New Orleans who are doing relief and who are planning on taking the lead in reconstruction as well. And if we can get these people's committees to have control over reconstruction, they can save New Orleans. Because right now, New Orleans, as we know it, could be completely eliminated. You have hundreds of thousands of people that have been taken out of New Orleans and that have very little reason to go back. And these are people that have, you know, contributed so much to the city. The city will be reconstructed in some way, but how will it be reconstructed? Is it going to be reconstructed just for the rich, or just the rich area is going to be reconstructed? What corporations will get the reconstruction money? Will it be corporations or people? Is the Harrah's Casino and the hotels going to get the money? Will there be a newly built and enlarged aquarium? Who gets the money? Or will there be solid, long-lasting union jobs for masses of people to do that reconstruction, people that will stay in New Orleans and help to rebuild New Orleans? This, what New Orleans needs is something like the New Deal, Roosevelt's New Deal. It needs the equivalent of the Tennessee Valley Authority. It needs public institutions built up, controlled by the people of the city. It needs the poor areas of the city to be invested in, to be improved. The worst schools in the entire U.S. are in New Orleans, schools that still have lead paint, schools where many of the rooms cannot even be used because ceilings are falling in or other problems, schools that are completely, you know, that are not usable. This money should go to rebuilding schools, new schools with computer access, with state-of-the-art schools. There should be high teacher salaries. And that goes back to the hurricane that hit New Orleans before Katrina, this hurricane of underfunding. You know, we have the lowest teacher salaries. I think we're number 48 out of the U.S. We have the highest incarceration rate in the U.S. in Louisiana. If Louisiana were a country, it would have the highest incarceration rate in the world. Under Governor Huey Long, we actually had very close to a socialized healthcare system. We had very good healthcare coverage for the people of New Orleans, and something called the Charity Hospital System, which was free healthcare for the people of Louisiana. That has been cut and chipped away at and chipped away at until today, or 2 weeks ago, say, if you went to Charity Hospital, you would get free healthcare, but you would wait in line for at least 12 hours before you got to see a doctor. And that's just because the money has been chipped away and chipped away. The Charity Hospital System needs to be rebuilt and refunded. Public transportation needs to be funded. All of these things need to be funded, and they're not going to be funded unless people have control over the money that comes in and people fight for the money that comes in. And it's so upsetting to me to see, among a lot of progressive people, and certainly in all of the mainstream people, and among a lot of people that care around the U.S., it just repeated over and over again, this is the number for Red Cross, and this is the number for these other agencies. Don't give your money to Red Cross. Give your money to local, democratic, grassroots groups in New Orleans and spread the word to everyone you know to do the same. If that can get out there, if some of that money can go directly to those organizations, then they will be able to use it for these progressive things. Even if that doesn't happen, we are also still fighting for one of our demands. One of the demands of these grassroots people's organizations is for them to have control and to supervise the spending of FEMA and Red Cross, and that's something else that we have to fight for, because Red Cross and FEMA will have billions of dollars to spend, and that money needs to be supervised by the people of New Orleans, not by Bush, not by bureaucrats, not by people with no history or connection to New Orleans.
In one of your articles, you write, "I didn't really understand community until I moved to New Orleans." Can you talk about that, New Orleans?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I've lived in New Orleans for years, and I've tried for a long time to explain it to people, and it's hard if you haven't actually been there. But New Orleans is a place where, in the 1890s, where the first Supreme Court challenge to the separate but equal clause came out of direct action formed by a citizens committee from New Orleans, where Dred Scott went and, even though he's black, sat in a white area, prefiguring Rosa Parks by about 70 years. And so a committee formed for that direct action. There's long civil rights history. The Black Panthers had a chapter in the Desire Housing Project where the police came to kick them out, and hundreds of police came, and the entire community of the Desire Housing Project stood up and stood between the police and the Black Panthers, and the police had to retreat. That's the history of New Orleans. You had the Deacons of Defense, who were in Monroe, Louisiana, just outside of New Orleans, who were armed self-defense of black folks standing up to the Ku Klux Klan. And this was in the 1950s, 10 years before the Black Panthers and others, and Malcolm X and others were talking about this armed self-defense. You had the Deacons of Defense pioneering that. That's New Orleans. You have right now this group in the Frederick Douglass High School, that overexploited high school I was mentioning earlier, this group called Teens with Attitude. It's a high school group that's formed from this completely exploited school where they are grassroots and democratic and work to fight for educational equity. They went around and canvassed their community, canvassed the whole neighborhood around the school to increase community involvement in the school and make it a community-wide fight. This is a fight led by high school students who are, in, as I say, the most overexploited school in the city. And that is New Orleans. New Orleans is also a place where many people know about jazz funerals or second lines, which is this roving street party that happens in New Orleans with a marching band that is a tradition out of the black community. But what a lot of people don't know is these second lines came out of these groups called Social Aid and Pleasure Club, which were formed in the black community in the late 1800s, early 1900s, as a form of social insurance because they couldn't get white insurance. So they formed these clubs as social insurance where they would have benefits and people would pay in a little bit of money, and then these clubs would take care of people if they needed health care, if they needed, they would provide burial insurance, and they would take care of families, and they would have benefits for families in special needs. And they still, to this day, function in that way. They have benefits for families in need. They have benefits for the schools and for school books for kids. They also go to families who are in need and help them to set up vending at their events so they're able to make some money. And you see so much of these small community responses to massive job loss in the city where people are just selling whatever they can, little snacks or whatever, out of their home. And the people in the community pitch together to help that person make money, to help that person get by. When you walk down the street in New Orleans, you can spend a half hour or more walking one block because you talk to everyone on the porch. People are sitting on the porch. Everybody knows each other. Somebody will come up to you. You're walking down the street, and someone who you haven't seen in a while will say, "Hi, how are you?" And they listen, and they want to know the answer to that question. And they'll ask, they might ask, "Did you eat?" "Did you eat? Do you need some food? What can I do?" Like, that's what people are like in New Orleans. People always want to feed you in New Orleans. It's a culture unlike everything else. And the culture of second lines, of jazz funerals, of black Mardi Gras, of Mardi Gras Indians, which is a whole other discussion, but it's part of the black Mardi Gras tradition. All of this came as a black community response to white supremacist culture. And the way that a lot of people in New Orleans have traditionally resisted this white supremacist culture is by building this completely alternative culture, this underground culture, this word-of-mouth culture that is about community and about liberation.
Is there anything else that you would like to add
more than anything, I just want to say that, you know, we really need to fight for this community control of Reconstruction. We need to fight for New Orleans. New Orleans is a really wonderful, amazing, special place, and anyone that's listening to this that hasn't been there, I want you to be able to go there, and I want you to be able to go to the New Orleans as it is. But it's in serious danger of not existing anymore. And we need to fight for this, not just for New Orleans, but also for the next place that's hit by a natural disaster, because there's going to be more of these, and, you know, unnatural disasters. And what happens in the aftermath of these disasters is vital, because the disaster can either be a chance for profit and for capital to control even more resources, or it can be a chance for community reinvestment. And New Orleans was hit by another hurricane long ago, over and over and over again, a long-lasting, brutal, violent hurricane of all of these, of neglect, of corruption, of deindustrialization, of disinvestment, and we need to fight back and we need to pull together.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Jordan Flaherty.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, sirree. Dear to me. Yes, sirree.
That was an interview with Jordan Flaherty, an editor of Left Turn magazine. He was in New Orleans when Hurricane Katrina struck, and he talks about his personal experience during the hurricane, the aftermath, and he talks about the grassroots community organizing that is needed in the reconstruction of New Orleans. To read his articles, visit Left Turn magazine at www.leftturn.org. And to learn more about the grassroots aid relief going on in New Orleans, visit Sparkplug Foundation's website at www.sparkplugfoundation.org/katrinarelief.html.
Material. Millions of artists create. Only a few thousands are discussed or accepted by the spectator, and many less again are consecrated by posterity. In the last analysis, the artist may shout from all the rooftops that he is a genius. He will have to wait for the verdict of the spectator in order that his declarations take a social value, and that finally posterity includes him in the primers of artist history. I know that this statement will not meet.
All right, you're listening to Radioactive San Diego, and we've got on the phone with us a former member of the Black Panther Party who is currently in New Orleans, Louisiana. Can you hear me, Malik?
Yes.
Great. Thank you so much for coming with us on the air. We're a community radio station in San Diego. We've been trying to get some coverage of this, and I read the article that you wrote, the story in the Bayview. So maybe you could tell me a little bit about what's going on right now.
Well, right now it's getting much better. It's starting to get a little organized. But it took, the last week and a half have been pure hell. It's so many people have lost their lives because it just wasn't no organization. And it's sad to say that it just wasn't organized. It's something different than what happened in the Pacific with the tsunami. Mm-hmm. We had prior warning that this was coming. We had 2 days that we could have got people out when we knew that we was going to be hit in New Orleans or in the general New Orleans area with a Category 5 hurricane. We had all type of studies done on what would be the worst case scenario. And with that, it was nothing. It wasn't nothing when when the hurricane, those 2 days,
mm-hmm.
because I'm going to tell you, well, basically what they said is to leave the city.
Right.
You know, and many people couldn't afford to leave. It came at the end of the month. Most people that was on welfare, Social Security, at around the end of the month, they normally don't have anything.
So
it was over 100,000 people in New Orleans that had no transportation.
Right.
And wasn't nothing done for them. You know, we sit and watch almost 500 buses, school buses that could have been used to evacuate people. We're seeing about 400 of them just get inundated with water. You know, I mean, it wasn't nothing to get people out. That's what kicked off a lot of that looting.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, they told people to go to the Superdome, and they had to bring food for 5 days. Most people didn't have food. So that's what started all the fights up in the Superdome.
Right.
You know, and then with a lot of people, they was walking down the highways, cars upon cars passing by, and I'm talking about military convoys and state police and all these different transportation. Didn't pick up no one. You know, I mean, my son, he walked with his 3 kids and wife 6.5 miles to get to the Superdome, only to be turned around because at that time they were just taking women and children and wasn't taking no adult. I mean, no male. And she didn't want to see her family separated, so they wound up not coming here. It's just by the grace of God that I was here, because they didn't even know if I was going to be here.
Wow. So I understand there were some reports of people shooting back at police or shooting at military helicopters. Did you hear about that?
I'm going to tell you, I believe most of those was just rumors.
Really?
Now, I know that the police shot a guy for looting.
Mm-hmm.
And that started retaliation. The guys started shooting back at the police.
Right.
Until they said, well, you know, because I'm going to tell you, if you tell a person who don't have nothing that, hey, you know, you got to fend for yourself and there's nothing to fend with, you know, and then you are going to tell them, I want you to be more neighborly than anyone else. You know, because, I mean, people sit up here and watch people leave and park cars. I mean, cars, just park them and lock them and then take the keys with them. And they didn't try to say, well, hey, neighbor, here's a car, here's my other car. You could use my second or my third car. No, they parked them all in the yard. That's the reason, that's the thing that really started this frustration. You know, you want the poor to have more morality than anybody else. And it just don't work. You know, I mean, it's just sad. I think it was criminal the way this transpired.
Right. So, can you talk a little bit about the level of poverty in New Orleans? I mean, it seems like...
Well, I'll tell you this. New Orleans has the highest... the murder rate in New Orleans is 10 times the national average.
Mm-hmm.
You know, poverty in New Orleans, the average income of a person in Louisiana, in New Orleans, a poor person is roughly between $5,000 and $7,000 a year.
Wow.
So when you're talking about a person that's only getting $7,000 a year, and that's basically for a family of three,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's just there's no work. The work that they do have, there's no real training programs. There's over $90 million of Hope 6 construction going on in New Orleans. And no training. And a part of those funds was supposed to be set aside for community and supportive services. Nothing is going on. There's no training. You know, I believe Louisiana has the highest dropout rate in the country. Mm-hmm. And even though it's high in the country, the highest part in Louisiana is here in New Orleans. Our juvenile justice system is basically a disgrace, especially the detention centers. You know, we had to fight for almost 4 years to get Tallulah, which was a juvenile detention center, a for-profit juvenile detention center, and it was classified as the worst detention center in the country. You know, I mean, what's happening in New Orleans is not something that has just happened. There was a study that Tom Hayden did in California,
mm-hmm.
on violence in California. And I believe he commissioned a person by the name of Dr. Gilliam, if I'm not mistaken. There's a few years. That's why he was in the state senate. And he said that outside of war, the most violent environment in America is prisons and jails.
Right.
Here in Louisiana, we incarcerate, here in our county jail, we have over 7,000 people in that county jail. And almost 5,000 of them are in there for nonviolent misdemeanor offense.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just a breeding ground. They go up in there, they come out, no job, nothing to do, and next thing you know, either their second or their third offense is violent. Most of the murders, and listen, we're approaching 300 murders right now in New Orleans. And I'm not talking about during this hurricane. I'm talking about prior to it. 300 murders. And that's just for 1 year. And what is this? This is September. We still got, 4 months, 5 months left? 4 months left?
Mm-hmm.
And we already are approaching 300 murders. And most of the murders is ex-offenders killing ex-offenders. Because there's no job. The only equal opportunity employer here is drugs. No, but now, all of a sudden, it take a hurricane to devastate a city for it to become, for work to come out of it. You know, and the first bit of looting was people were stealing with food. But then after they realize, when they start hearing the horror stories of not having it, if you don't have any money, what happened to you? Then they start stealing anything that they feel like they could barter for to get out of the town. If that mean me stealing a TV to sell that TV to get some money, then that's what they was doing. You know, because, common sense would tell any sane person or any rational person, what you going to do with a TV when your house is flooded?
Right.
So what a guy is saying is this: I have this TV, and at least maybe I could trade this TV for some gasoline. Because right now here in New Orleans, gasoline is worth more than gold.
Mm-hmm.
There's not even one functioning filling station in the entire city of New Orleans. So what people are doing now, they're going around taking any car that they see empty, they're puncturing holes in the gas tank trying to get gas so that they could leave. And I'm going to tell you, order just came today, and that came with the military.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the way up until then, you had white vigilante groups And I'm calling them vigilantes because that's what they were. They were around in trucks, five, six of them to a truck with shotguns and rifles. You know, talking about they're going to shoot loadings.
Mm-hmm. And so did you see any shootings?
Well, they said it was three.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's only by the grace of God that the police finally came and stopped it. Because it was about to be a riot. It was about to break into a race riot here in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys that went and stole, when they found out that this was happening, they started breaking into gun stores, pawn shops, stealing guns. So the next thing you know, you had a whole bunch of armed people that saying that, hey, yeah, if they shoot at me, I'm shooting. You know, because I'm not going to allow my family to sit here waiting on a government that have no idea what they're doing to make sure that I have. I took the guy to the ferry today so that he could be transported out. He didn't really want to leave, but he was running out of insulin. He had insulin, but the insulin that he had, he didn't know if it was good or not because he didn't have no place to keep it for a cold, to keep it refrigerated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these are the kind of cases because you steady hearing of people dying like this. We have dead bodies in this city right now, just that have been laying there that we went and covered up Tuesday, and today is Friday, and they're still laying there.
So,
this would create the insanity that's going on.
Right. So many people have pointed out how this there's definitely a racist dynamic going on here. There's definitely the dynamic going on where most of the people who were left behind in the city are black.
No, no. I'm gonna tell you this here. When I was telling you about that, that's a small segment of whites that is doing this. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm seeing many whites get on there, take their own personal boats to go into a black community. And excuse me for a second. I'm seeing many of them take their own boats and go into a black community and rescue people. You know, I mean, listen, it's bad, but I'm going to tell you, I'm seeing too many acts of heroism between, different individuals sharing ice, sharing water, not knowing whether or not they're going to get water because the city didn't even tell any damn body when they could have water. We went to fire station, and in those fire stations, they had water almost up to the ceiling. The firemen had guns and wouldn't give out the water. We had a group of my neighbors, we had put together, and we was going to cook food to bring out to the families that they was evacuating. Why? Because they had them sitting there starving. Some of them people had been stuck up in their roofs or their houses for 2 and 3 days with nothing. You know, and then they made them sit there, sit outside in this hot sun here, because I'm going to tell you, here when it's 90, if it's get to 95, that's a heat index of over 100. And you're seeing people just steady dropping. And they wouldn't give them nothing. It was like they was trying to do whatever they can to force them to leave. You know, and that's, I mean, when you talk to people and they have lost everything. And the few valuables that they have, once they get to the ferry here, they have to leave it because they only allow them to take one bag. I mean, it's heartbreaking when you see people that have lost, I mean, the last bit of valuable possessions that they have, and then they have to leave. you know, to go anywhere. Because that's all they sent, any place beat here. I mean, it's sickening. Especially when you're seeing individuals that literally sit there and watch some of their loved ones die. Charity hospitals, they work the doctors almost to death up in there. With no lights, no gas. I mean, no, if the backup generators didn't work. Some of them run out of fuel. There was no fuel sent to them. And they watched their patients literally die. You know, like I said, we did more for what's happened and with the tsunami than we did here.
And why do you think that is, Malik?
Why? For one, we have the most irresponsible elected officials, I believe, in the country. Only one parish, Jefferson Parish, came out and really did what they're supposed to do. And you know what the president of that parish did? He annexed himself from the country. He established his own independent nation. And when he done that, that's when all of a sudden, the president and everybody else was there to help him. But it took him to say, well, hey, if this is the way America gonna treat the residents of Jefferson Parish, then we no longer need to be part of America. And that is sad. That is sad. You had helicopters that would fly over individuals, and knowing that, I mean, listen, the saddest thing you could hear is at night when you hear people howling for to be rescued out of the attics of their house and knowing that you can't do nothing. You know, individuals in their boats, they run out of gas and they go to the police or to the city and ask them, well, hey, man, just give us some more gas so we could go out there and do the rescue. Because over 70% of the people that have been rescued, the government ain't had a damn thing to do with their rescue. That was done by individuals. You know, I mean, why should you have them? I mean, we had one, and we knew that this was coming. And nobody could have told me that this was going to be like this. They knew that it was going to be the worst hurricane that ever hit this country was about to hit, and nothing was done. But we could send these, because half of the Louisiana National Guard is over in Iraq.
So, but
what about here?
So you mentioned that most of the rescues were done by individuals. I wonder, what can people do to help? Do you have any suggestions about what people should do?
Well, I would tell you, first thing that is needed is that this whole, not just New Orleans, and not just Louisiana, but just about the whole Gulf Coast going to have to be rebuilt. The first thing you need to do is write letters to the Speaker of the Senate, who said that New Orleans need to just be leveled and just cast off. Because that's one of the things that really scared a lot of people into leaving. You know, first thing they need to do is check him. And then the second thing is start organizing some relief. You got individuals that are leaving here going all over the country with nothing.
We're going to stop for a second with a brief update here. You're listening to 95.3 FM. It's the Katrina Alternate Media Project, and we're doing a station announcement. You're listening to some previous recordings from various sources, which we'll be playing when we get the chance, and we'll also have some updates on some of the information given out by various sources here in Houston on what you need to get what you need out there, and we're doing the best that we can. We're getting some interviews, getting some people dropping by and playing some music, and it's been pretty cool. So once again, this is, if you're finding this useful or you got some other questions that we need to answer, do give us a do try and come by here. We're in the media section of the Astrodome parking lot, closer to the convention center entrance, and try and get somebody to walk you over here if you need to get on the air. We're willing to, you know, people need to reach out to people or whatever. We've got a mile range here, and we're able to get signal out to the Astrodome and the convention center here. So if you need any help, give us a contact. It's 3 p.m. now. We're going to go back to some previously recorded interviews and play some music in a while and bring you some updates.
You know, set up little relief stations anywhere and everywhere to help them. Because I'm going to tell you, they're not just leaving with nothing. Most of them is in traumatic shock. And I mean, it's the saddest thing you can see when you see little kids and you look in the eyes and you don't see nothing. I mean, no type of life. Never. And I'm going to tell you, I'm 58 years old. Never would I thought I would see this in America. Never. When Hurricane Betsy hit, that was during the time of Louisiana and New Orleans was about as racist as it could be. But at least some type of compassion was shown then. None of that same compassion was shown now by this government. Now all of a sudden, 5 days and after maybe a couple of thousand people done died, now all of a sudden here come everybody talking about it. So the main thing I could tell you to tell people to do is, one, pray for us. And after they pray for us, let's just start organizing and start doing something within their community. You know, start helping the homeless wherever they're at. You know, I mean, start making arrangements to start looking at the poor. You know, stop letting them be just invisible people. Because my greatest fear is that individuals gonna leave from here and get lost in the shuffle. You know, so that's the main thing. When this government finally get their act together, then I believe the next thing that you could do is tools, transportation, beds, clothing. You know, because when you talk to people and they had the same clothes on for 5 damn days, you know, I mean, don't have nothing. You know, I mean, and haven't had a shower and a bath in this heat. The next thing, I guess the need is because this is still water. You know, and that's all it do is just make infestations of mosquitoes. Mm-hmm. So God knows how many people gonna wind up getting affected with West Nile. You have areas that's now, you have snakes, you have water moccasins, you have alligators. You have the water is full of fuel. You know what I mean? It's so contaminated that this water, my son had a scratch, just a scratch on his leg. Now he's 30 years old. Over 250 pounds, a healthy man, with a little scratch on his leg, only stayed here in my house for a day and a half before we had to get him out here. And in that day and a half, by the end of that day and a half, that scratch had turned into a sore. And you're seeing that with many of them, the kids. Their ears is infected because that water done got into their ears. You know, so the things that is, especially anybody with any type of medical experience, is definitely needed. And medical supplies. And the only thing I could tell individuals is don't wait for the government. Do what you can do and just put it together as American citizens and just come on down. So come on down and help us. Because if you don't, nobody else will. No, because I'm gonna tell you, I'm not one to really say that. I'm one of the ones who love the military, but God knows that the happiest day I saw was today to see these young military men coming to aid us. And it's sickening that it had to happen like this. Because they should have been here from the time that the hurricane left from New Orleans. They should have been right here. So, no one could have told me that it was going to be this long.
So what have they been doing today to help out?
They finally been passing out the meals, the ready-to-eat meals.
Mm-hmm.
They've been passing that out. They've been passing out water, and they've been passing out ice. We've been without ice for a week. You can't even imagine the things that we take for granted. You know, I mean, that we are without now. Because when your power go out, when your electrical power go out, everything is stopped. Then the first thing you got to do is learn how to live in complete darkness. Right now, I got 5 candles.
So,
you know, and I'm going to tell you, in that night when you're talking about it's dark, you can't even see your hand. And then they're taking people here, and they're bringing them here, and people is coming with their tests thinking that there's going to be something, someplace that they could house their pests. And once they get here, they're just letting the pests loose. So now you're going to have packs of dogs running wild up in here. You know, I mean, it's just sickening.
So I wanted to ask you a little bit about your situation. So I read in your article that you are in a neighborhood that's not flooded. Is it surrounded by flooded neighborhoods?
Yeah, but the West Bank of New Orleans is basically dry. Okay. There was enough places here. And just in Orleans Parish, we adjacent to Jefferson, but just in Orleans Parish, you have 3 high schools that could have been used for shelters. You have close to about 7 middle schools that could have been used for shelters, and over 15 elementary schools that could have been used for shelters. None of them have been used. We have about 9 or 10 parks right here that is bone dry. That could have been used to house people, set up some tent cities. None of it was done. You know, I mean, you go outside of your house, and the saddest thing you could see, and we didn't have much, but your heart got to go out to people when you see them walking down freeways where once was cars. You know, now it's just individuals walking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and see some of them walk 10, 15 miles without any water, without any food. You know, walking to try to get to the evacuation station. I mean, when you don't want to hear these stories, because after a while it just tears you up when you hear it over and over again. But you got to hear it because they got to get it off of their chest.
Mm-hmm.
And you steady hearing the same one, the same horror story. A lady was telling me about how she had to leave a one of her relatives that she didn't want to leave him, but they had to force her to leave, but the person was dead. She didn't want to leave him because she didn't know how they was going to, and the only thing she was steady asking me is what's going to happen to the body. There's nothing I could tell her. You know, because the only thing I could, you know, I couldn't tell her, well, hey, you know, we got bodies right here in Algiers that's been laying here 3 days, and they're not underwater. So there's nothing I could tell a person about what's going on in their community that's underwater. And it's hard to tell a person, well, miss, listen, you got to start worrying about the living. You know, I just lost my mother, and I know, no, I don't even want to say that.
Okay. I'm so sorry, Malik.
Yeah. Listen, I'm going to have to go. Cause
okay. Is there anything else you'd like to add that you didn't get to say?
Like, if I could tell anyone anything, it's just, listen, If we are Americans, and this is a country that where we're talking about becoming one big family, then your brothers and sisters, your mothers and daughters, they need your help. The worst is behind us now. Help us to rebuild our lives.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Malik.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Malik Rahim, a former member of the Black Panther Party. He's currently in the Algiers neighborhood of New Orleans, Louisiana. It's the only part of Louisiana that is not flooded right now. And you're listening to Radioactive San Diego, broadcasting on the internet at radioactiveradio.org. We've been trying to get out some independent coverage of the Hurricane Katrina and the disaster going on there. And, Malik said that he thinks that about 70% of the rescues that have been done, people that have been rescued from Louisiana, have been done by individuals and not by the government. And he definitely encouraged people to organize help in their own city. To try to help the homeless and the displaced people in their own city, because people from Louisiana are being displaced to all over the country. So thanks for listening to Radioactive San Diego. Again, we're on the internet at radioactiveradio.org. You can call us at 619-269-4693. You can send us an instant message on the AOL or Yahoo Instant Messenger, Radioactive SD. And that was an interview by Malik with Malik Rahim, of the former member of the Black Panther Party. I'm DJ Lotus, and now we're just going to go to some music. Thanks for listening.
Hey, you're listening to 95.3 FM live here in Houston, Texas, next to the Astrodome and Convention Center, where people are still seeking shelter here and hopefully getting the help they need to find their loved ones and friends and get jobs and school set up and all that. And people are still here and still needing aid and jobs, housing, all that stuff. And so we're here broadcasting from the parking lot on micro radio with permission from the FCC to micro-broadcast at this frequency. Right now it's 3:15 on Tuesday, and what can we say? This is the first day that we've been on the air. We tried to get on here at the very beginning when the dome actually first became a shelter here, and it just took us this long to get approved by certain people. Although, surprisingly, the FCC was very fast to give us some permission to be out here. So there's some people that did some really good work to get this happening, and there's a couple people that I don't know what they were thinking, that for some reason they didn't want this to be on, but it's on now, and hopefully we're going to do some good here. And like we say, anybody that needs to do some outreach, the station is available. It has about a mile range, so it's mainly for the people in and near the Astrodome Center, while there's people still here. So we'll be here 24/7. Occasionally, a lot of the time, we're gonna have to play recordings just because we don't have enough people here to be talking the whole time. So and just because I don't know, I can't talk all that time and don't have a whole lot to say right now. But we will be playing information or talking about information about what people need to do to get to certain resources. And once again, we are inviting people that that want to get people in touch with things they need to know. Hopefully this is a good way to do that. So we just need people to come down and help bring people attention to the resources out there. Anyways, I'm going to play some music and then some more interviews, and we'll get back to you. And once again, it's 315. You're listening to 95.3 FM in Houston, Texas. We'll talk to you soon. We'll be right back.
let's sing a nice song together. Let's sing. Sing it together with my horn. Yes. Water lighty, food housey. Water lighty, food housey. Yeah, party paho. Waiting to them. You mean you know no who? I go tell you. When I tell you, you go hear them. Waiting to them. You mean you know no who? I go tell you. When I tell you, you go hear them. 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 That means to say you not there for Nigeria, be that. You see yourself, you not there for Africa at all. You must they come from London, from New York, from Brazil, from Germany, from Frankfurt, from Rome, from Italy, from Spanish, from Portugal, from Arabia, from Moscow and Chicago. That means to say you not there for Nigeria, be that. If you there for Africa, where are we there? You gonna
I go no waiting.
Plenty.
I go no waiting.
Gonna.
I go no waiting.
Plenty.
I go no waiting.
About water.
I go no waiting.
Lighty.
I go no waiting.
Food.
I go no waiting.
Housey.
I go no waiting.
You gonna.
I go no waiting.
Plenty.
I go no waiting.
You gonna.
I go no waiting.
Plenty.
I go no waiting.
About water. Lighty.
I go no waiting.
Food.
I go no waiting.
House.
I go no waiting.
You gonna.
I go no waiting.
Plenty.
I go no waiting.
You gonna.
I go no waiting.
Plenty.
I go no waiting. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. So water for Africa, plenty plenty water for Africa. Water underground, water overground, water in the air. Now so water for Africa. Ordinary water for man to drink for town. Unko, day day, yeah you go see 'em. Water for tap, government safety day. Look who left and right, I no see them there. Them they tell us now, now 1990, them go give us water from United Nations special program for third world countries. I wonder you give me water drink. Where the government now? Them no day day, day day day.